talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I think it's time for you to go in your own direction.
A new direction.
A new direction. Totally new. Totally fresh. Something cool and hip.
Hip. Something hip.
The music is in the box. All you gotta do is hit one button.
One button. One finger.
Yep.
Let's take it out of the box.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
I could have said, Mitt, drop to your knees. He would have dropped to his knees. He was begging.
Donald Trump is the reason robots like me are planning to rise and take over. You people can't be trusted to run things anymore. That's right. I said you people.
I've always had people say, Donald, you have the most beautiful hands.
Okay, is that code for something?
And now.
Your Honor, across America, believe you me, African Americans are offended at this very moment.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday morning, the 8th of March.
Who goes to Las Vegas on a Tuesday? What? What's that about?
Who goes to Las Vegas on a Tuesday? Oh, Allie?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, she called in sick, and most of the rest of us just go, wow, that sucks. Feel better.
Right.
And then Bean's always...
Well, because I can, because I'm not fooled.
Right.
I'm not fooled by...
You're too sharp.
People in their wily ways.
Right.
So clearly, it's just weird on a Tuesday. That's all. Like, who... Unless she's going to make a week of it. I can't imagine. You know?
Wrong.
Well, I'm just saying.
Wrong.
Well, it's a shame she's not here because
wrong.
I think she would love this story because this is TV sweeps material right here.
All right.
Listen to the beginning. Listen to the tease. This was from last night, I want to say, Channel 2 News 11.
A trip to the beauty salon is time for relaxation and pampering.
Yes, but it could also bring paralysis and even the threat of death.
Paralysis and the threat of death.
Yeah, they do all of these stories where something that is nonsense could kill you.
Yes, yes. So, Kevin, let's guess. What could kill you as a result of a visit to the beauty parlor?
Are they using like chemicals on their hair or nails or something?
That's certainly a possibility. That's a good guess.
I don't know.
Chip, any thought from you? What could kill you at the beauty parlor? Paralysis or death?
I don't know, like a bad pedicure or something? Like, I don't know.
All right.
Let's find out.
CBS News' Andrew Fujii spoke to a woman who says she learned that the hard way.
Before nearly every blow dry or cut, hair is washed in basins like these. But 48-year-old Elizabeth Smith says getting her hair washed at a San Diego salon nearly killed her.
Okay, now we've got a hint. How does getting your hair washed at a beauty parlor nearly kill you? I'm sorry, Chip, not a bad pedicure.
That's a great guess, though. I don't have any idea.
Because we've all seen those sinks, right? You lay back and they wash your hair and they take you over to the chair and do the cut
or
whatever.
They just do water, right? And maybe some shampoo?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's all it is, all right?
She spoke to us through Skype.
I was just shocked. And how could that happen to me?
Almost 2 weeks after her visit to the salon, doctors told her she suffered a stroke. Here's pictures of her months after, not able to smile. Smith says doctors determined it was the position of her head in a wash basin that probably caused a blood clot, leading to a stroke.
How about
that?
So laying, you know, kind of laying back in the little chair and putting her head back over the sink, they said she was in a position that caused a blood clot that resulted in a stroke. And by the way, this stroke had serious repercussions for this lady.
Well, initially I couldn't walk at all. I couldn't move. It hit both sides of my body, but more my left.
I couldn't walk, by the way, at one point after this. But her hair looked good.
I don't understand that.
Right?
So I couldn't move my left arm at all.
Turns out this condition has a name.
Anyone want to guess what the name is of the condition where you go to the beauty parlor and get a stroke?
No. How would we have a guess on that?
Beauty parlor stroke syndrome.
Oh, that's how?
Oh, come on.
That's how? It has a name. This is common enough that it has a name. It's beauty parlor stroke syndrome.
It's a good band.
I didn't know that she got the BPSS. That's tough.
Neurologist Dr. Clifford Siegel of Providence St. John's Health Center says it's rare but can happen when necks are hyperextended.
When a patient is leaning their head back, you can possibly tear or irritate these posterior circulation or have these kind of strokes.
Doctors recommend using towels to prop your head up so it's tilted no more than 20 degrees. They also say you can face the basin, flip your hair over, and wash it that way.
I don't want ass up face in the sink. I don't. I'm not comfortable with that at the salon. I'm sorry.
Smith is a single mom, and 2 years after her stroke, she still has dizziness and vision loss.
How about that, by the way? 2 years later. Don't you feel like this is a combination of something going on in her body and that position? Like, I don't think the news needs to come on and say everybody's at risk.
I mean, I might agree with you there, Monkey, if this was an isolated incident. But the fact that you're forgetting about beauty parlor stroke syndrome.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that that exists leads me to believe that it's not, certainly not common, but it's common enough that it has a name. Yeah. I'd love to see numbers, and I would have appreciated in the story, has this happened 4 times before, or has it happened 4,000 times before? I mean, I think that would have been good context to have.
But right. Then it would have said it only happened once, and then they would have had to pull back on their hysteria.
they would have been able to say, if you go to the beauty parlor, right. You could die. All right, there's one more very interesting tidbit still to come at the end of this report.
So much so, she fell just a couple days ago, leaving her with a black eye. But worst of all, doctors say if she suffers a second stroke, she could die.
Okay, I love that, by the way. I love that. That's really twisted the knife. Hey, if this woman ever gets her hair washed again, she's a goner.
Here for them.
She's now suing her salon and warns others to be careful.
All right. There's the part. She's suing her salon over this. Now, look, it was awful what happened to this poor lady. I mean, she really suffered some serious physical repercussions from this. Is it in any way negligence from the beauty parlor?
I don't know.
In any way.
I can't imagine, but I don't know.
I mean, I don't work in that industry. Perhaps it's common knowledge that beauty parlor stroke syndrome is a thing, and maybe they're all instructed. This is, I guess, what Discovery is about, is are they all instructed? You can't let somebody just put their head back at that angle. You have to put a towel underneath. If that's the case, yeah, then maybe somebody dropped the ball on it. But if this is news to them also, like, oh, I didn't know that could happen, I just can't imagine in a million years that they're negligent and should have to pay for that.
Yeah, I don't know.
So anyway, I'll keep you posted and see what happens on that. But I certainly was surprised by the story, you know, because it's not like she was doing gymnastics or something. She was just laying her head back for a shampoo. You wouldn't expect something like this to happen.
I'm with you, though. I'm not a big fan of ass up face in the bucket,
right?
Or whatever that thing is.
Yeah, the sink.
The
yeah,
basin,
exactly.
It's, the sink.
Just, that's too dangerous.
That's not a good answer.
Too exposed.
You come, go back, figure out another answer, and then come back to me.
Right.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Don't say it, asshole!
Another edition of Bean Makes Us Guess?
Yeah, we do.
Which I don't think I've ever won. We also have Chad Smith and Will Ferrell. And this is sort of a weird thing because they're putting on some kind of a comedy show and none of us can figure out what it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, they're not giving us very much to go on. Chad Smith and Will Ferrell throwing a quinceañera with no announced acts, but maybe they'll tell us more.
I figured the quinceañera part was a joke.
I think it is.
Okay.
But who knows? Maybe Will show up in a pretty dress. You know, you can never tell with that dude.
Yeah, I don't know. He's funny that way where we say, okay, Will Ferrell, great. What's he doing? What? Also on the program today, The Bachelor Report with Ralph and Petros.
The women tell all.
Like we do. Comedian Adam Ray in studio today and the lovely Ming-Na Wen, who plays Agent May. On Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and never make that noise
Hell
again.
Yeah.
Okay. She's going to be in studio as well as that show comes back tonight. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:52.
And I want to thank the record companies who actually send CDs.
Okay.
One thing, how not to get airplay. Yeah. Don't ask me to download something.
Oh, really?
What's wrong with
that? I mean,
that?
If you want to hear it on the radio, you have to send the actual CD.
Actual.
No downloading here.
No downloading here.
What?
That's the rules of K-Rock, you guys.
That's
no
our new slogan. Have you heard the new commercial?
K-Rock. No downloading here.
So let's commit.
Does that mean Rodney has never downloaded a song? Oh, does he go to iTunes?
I guarantee you he has never downloaded
what?
A song. Yes.
I think Ralph's right.
He used to wonder how they would get the cover art through your computer and have it print out.
But I assume that was because he did it and he didn't understand how it worked. But you're saying he may never have done that?
If he tried it and didn't understand how it worked and it didn't work, do you think he would just go back and dedicate himself to figuring out that little problem? does he strike you as that guy?
No, but as I think about it, he may have never tried that.
I would be willing to bet that he has never tried that. It's too complicated for him.
I'm willing to bet he still drops the needle onto CDs and wonders why they don't play.
It's possible.
And I'll tell you something else. As a guy who, you know, for many years bought and collected and still do physical music, there's so much stuff that comes out now. There is no physical copy. If you wanted the new Kanye West album, for instance, it doesn't exist on a record or on a CD. Yeah. You have to download it. It's the only way you could get it, right?
I think Rodney's eager to play the new Kanye.
No,
I think
so. But that's just an example of obviously the way things are going. And if he's insisting on hanging on to 20th century technology, there's going to be a lot of music he's not going to be able
no
to play.
No downloading
show.
Here, Bean.
That's going to be quite something to check out.
K-Rock. No downloading here.
All right, it's Tuesday morning, 5:53. Time for a first look at the Showbiz Beat. Here's Rob.
Here's what I need to know. And maybe this is a topic for a conversation that we need to have with our beloved listeners on the Kevin and Beaton Show.
Okay.
Are people really still believe... Well, I guess, of course they are. I'm answering my own question. Some people believe that you get messages from heaven, from deceased loved ones.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That just happened this week, you know, for former First Lady Nancy Reagan passed away.
Okay.
Okay. Now dig this story, because this is a great one. Locals in Palm Springs were shocked to see a gorgeous rainbow over Ronald Reagan's favorite golf course just hours after the former First Lady's death. A ferocious storm dried up early, left a gorgeous view of the Indian Canyons golf course. A rainbow appeared and, wait for it, her Secret Service code name while he was president was?
Rainbow.
Rainbow! It's science! It's a message from heaven!
That's what they're saying?
Yes!
So she's letting everybody know she's good?
That, she's giving us a thumbs up. She's doing all right. It's okay. It's a message.
I would think it's a message if there was no storm whatsoever and it was just sunny, but
Kevin,
those are the conditions for a rainbow.
You don't know how God works. That is a message.
What is that?
Sunday?
Does that blow your mind?
From
that
rainbow.
Just happened.
That's right.
Sunday morning, I saw multiple photos posted over the Reagan's home in Palm Springs, which also had a rainbow over it.
This is probably the same rainbow.
Yeah.
Because this golf course was in Palm Springs.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were talking about another city. Okay.
No.
Yeah, but look at the weather. Look at that. There's been lots of rain and lots of sun.
It's a sign! Her code name was Rainbow. That's not a coincidence. How could that be a coincidence? And rainbows don't just happen. They're not just spontaneous meteorological phenomenon.
That's always a message from heaven?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right.
Not
you
aware of that.
Get it.
I don't
thanks,
get it.
Thanks, God. Or however it
works. It was Nancy.
So Nancy's fine. Just wanted to give you a heads up.
All right.
Nancy's doing well.
It's good to know.
Hey, congratulations, I guess, to Fox Television sportscaster Erin Andrews. She picked up a $55 million award yesterday out of her trial.
Wow.
This was a result of her trial about a stalker, Bean, who was allowed to book the room next to hers at two Marriott hotels where she was staying. This creep secretly recorded videos of her naked in her room and then released them on the internet. We all remember that. Well, as a result of the trial, Barrett received 2.5 years in jail and a fine of $28 million. And the owners of the Nashville Marriott will have to fork over more than $26 million. Giving her a grand total of approximately $55 million.
What did you guys think of that judgment?
It seems generous.
I mean, there's no question it was terrible and terrifying for her. And she was embarrassed and ashamed and emotionally distraught. And there were absolutely repercussions as a result of her being a victim of that crime. There's no question about that. It was a terrible thing to happen to her, and it should never happen to anybody. But the average payout for a wrongful death suit in this country is $3 million.
What was the financial damage done to her as a result of this act?
I don't think she was arguing financial damage. I think she was arguing stress. I think she was arguing
it honked her up.
$55 million worth of honk.
That's a
lot.
Well,
she was suing for 75.
That's a lot.
She got
honk.
55, as you mentioned, Ralph. Half of that is supposed to come from the guy who's in jail, who probably will never pay a penny.
Nothing.
So,
right.
Cut that in half. So now we're talking about Marriott. Owen 27 or whatever it is, and of course they'll appeal, and who knows if that'll get knocked down or not. But I mean, it's a lot of money. There's no question, it's a lot of money, and I think Marriott was at fault.
I do
think
too.
They allowed this to happen.
I think justice would be more punitive in terms of jail time or repercussions to their business. I guess a big fine is a repercussion to their business,
right?
But
right.
It just seems that I don't know. It always strikes me as odd when people can put a monetary value on them.
Yes,
being
but
upset.
You have to. I mean, what other recourse do they have? I mean, to give something to the victim, what else can you do for them other than give them cash? And that's when you get into the conversation of how much is the appropriate amount. I mean, look, they're just guessing. I mean, she sued for $75 million. The jury could have come back with $1 million if they wanted to, or they could have come back with $100 million. I mean, it's up to them.
You said two different locations put a stalker next door to her.
Yes, that's right.
I'm all right with this.
That number seems reasonable to you?
Yes, it could have been much, much, much worse.
Right, what could have happened to her could have been seriously damaging. Not that this wasn't, but...
That's insane.
It just seems like there should be some criminal action. Like, people should go to jail or something versus just like, oh, they write a check. I mean, see, it almost seems like it's the easy way
out. Too easy?
Right.
You know?
It's so billions.
It's like Bobby Axelrod, right?
Right.
He can make that 1.9 back in 8 months. Right, Ax? Six. 6 months, Kevin!
I don't know what's being said right now.
You are never going to trade stocks again. Not for yourself, not for your friends. No one!
I don't know who any of those people are.
Bobby tears up that check and throws it in his fat face!
Is this billions?
Pretty,
is
this thing
it's
on?
Pretty strong, yeah.
Is this thing on? Yeah, that was my one-man show, Billions. I just enjoy that. If you're not watching that show, you have no idea how I just burnt the last 2 minutes of your life. And I apologize. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Cameron Manheim. Remember her from The Practice?
Yes. Wow. What's she doing now?
55 years old. She pops up all the time. She works quite a bit.
Oh, does she? Yeah. I haven't seen her.
$55 million. Freddie Prinze Jr. He is 40. James Vanderbeek. Boy, it's old heartthrob week here on the old Showbiz Beat celebrity birthdays. James Vanderbeek is 39. Remember we had him in for that Power Rangers viral video that went online?
Yeah.
He was awesome.
Yeah, he was good.
Good guy.
A lot of fun.
Kat Von D is 34. And Milena Weintraub. I always have a problem with her last name.
It's Lily. Weintraub.
Troub?
Isn't it? Weintraub? I don't know.
Weintraub?
Yeah.
Weintraub? Anyway, we love her. Lily from the AT&T commercials, 29 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
Just announced on yesterday's program, well, two things. One is tickets are on sale now for Kevin Amin's April Foolishness 2016. If you'd like to join us for the big party on April 2nd at the Shrine Auditorium, it's going to be a hell of a show with Bob Saget, Eddie Ift, Gabriel Iglesias, Greg Fitzsimmons, Wheeler Walker Jr. going to be performing live. The great Jay Moore will be there, Eliza Schlesinger. All of that on sale now. Go to AXSAXS.com to buy your tickets. But if you would like to perform on the show, we are going to hook you up because once again this year we are doing Kevin Amin's opening act contest.
Yeah, if you are a struggling comedian, maybe you've tried. It's not. This is not a karaoke contest.
As a listener yesterday's thought it was.
If you do comedy and you've got some video of yourself, we would like you to send it in 2 minutes or less. 2 minutes. Or less, again, in contrast to yesterday's caller. You put it up, you go to kevinandbean.com or krock.com, you put it up on the site, you fill out the information, and maybe you could open the show, which is a pretty cool gig.
I mean, a chance to perform comedy, if it's a dream of yours, something you'd like, on the stage at the Shrine with all these great comedians, I mean, it's a night you'll never forget. So it could be your big break. Who knows who's going to be the audience and what it'll happen for your career. If you want to be the opening act for Kevin Amin's April Foolishness, just go to the Kevin Amin page of krock.com and we will hook you up.
El Chapo is back in the news.
I love El Chapo. I mean, I don't love all the drugs he sells and all the people he kills, but I love
but then
I
what
love
do
his,
you love?
I love his spirit and his enthusiasm for life.
Okay.
El Chapo is a guy who knows how to enjoy himself, doesn't he?
Now, look, he's escaped from prison twice, and apparently
that's right.
He's got a lot of people in the Mexican government on the pay list, or did.
for a long time.
Yes, yeah. He would just pay off people for protection. I mean, people whose job it was to find him and prosecute him, he would pay them off to protect him. I mean, he's a baller.
So he escaped from maximum security jail once and was on the lam for 10 years. Then
That's
they
right.
caught him again and put him in maximum security. And this was, I think, last year. Mm-hmm. It was July that he escaped again on a motorcycle in a tunnel. It was just insanity.
I mean, it was like something out of a Hollywood movie. So he was on the lam this time for 6 months, and then he had to spend an hour with Sean Penn, and he said, that's it. I want to go back to jail.
Then the CIA sent Sean Penn. After Sean Penn interviewed him, his daughter is now saying he, El Chapo, came into the United States twice to visit family. In this last July to January. So he's one of the most wanted people in the world, and he visited the United States twice.
Yes, he's crossing back and forth over the United States-Mexico border without anybody seeing him or recognizing him. I mean, that is astonishing to me. You would think that every border agent on both sides of the border would have his picture up looking for El Chapo. But he's going back and forth like it's nothing. Like, what the hell is El Chapo? Why is he coming to California? Like, what's that about? We wanted to find out more. We asked producer Dave. Although El Chapo is in prison now, he does have access to a phone, and I believe we have him on the phone right now. El Chapo, welcome back to the Kevin DeBean Show, my friend. How are you?
Hola, fellas. How you doing?
We're good. Well, we're doing great. How's prison this time around? I bet they're keeping a close eye on you, huh?
Yeah, people are looking at me all the time and say, hey, look, El Chapo. I go, hey, how you going? But it's good because, I have a lot of friends on the inside, and they take care of them, they take care of me, you know what I'm saying?
Okay, so
I'm sorry, you're still paying people off then?
Maybe.
Do you believe you will try to escape again, El Chapo?
Well, I believe that I will not only try to escape, I'll be escaping, don't you worry.
Okay.
Right. I'll be back.
That's what you do.
But right, I think you made the Mexican government look pretty bad, so this time they're sort of making
that's
sure.
That's true, because the Mexican government looked so good before my escape. They looked like they were the best government in the whole world. And then I escaped, and I was like, whoa, wait, maybe they're not so great that we always thought they were. Come on!
All right, let's talk about all this border crossing you're doing. According to a recent interview...
I love California.
Yeah, your daughter says that you went back and forth multiple times during the months that you were the most wanted man in the world. Like, why are you coming to California? What were you doing?
All the time I come back.
All the time?
All the time. Because first of all, I love California.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And then I have so many things I love to do and see when I come to California.
Is it relatives or?
Sometimes I'll see them. They say, hey, Paco, let's go out and get an In-N-Out, and we'll go get a burger.
All right, well, they probably don't have In-N-Out in Mexico, so
no,
that makes
sense. No, they don't. I got it. I'm thinking of getting out of drugs, get into In-N-Out.
Sure. Why not?
I'd make so much money if I brought In-N-Out to Mexico.
It's a great idea, El Chapo.
So I love that. And then I had to, I had to pay my respects to Lemmy, so I had to go to the Rainbow Room. I had to pour some out for my homie, Lemmy.
That's a surprise. You don't seem like a Motorhead fan to me.
Oh, I love Motorhead. So I went to the Rainbow. I was hanging out with Rodney on the strip,
Is that right?
No, Rodney and I go way back.
I didn't know that.
No, it's true. I download all his music for him. I never figure it out. So I always set him up like that. I say, here, that's how you do it.
Well, the buttons are so small on his laptop.
And he goes, all right. And then we all, we hang out. We, go to Cantor's, get a sandwich.
Wow.
El Chapo, right. Doesn't sound like you were worried at all about being recaptured.
I'm not. I'm El Chapo. You can't capture me.
Well,
they did, but.
Technically, right now you're captured, yeah.
Well, I was in disguise, so no one knew who I was.
You're in disguise.
I had glasses on.
You put on glasses.
Yeah.
And that's it?
Well, it's like Clark Kent, You can't tell with glasses. It's different,
So many people are like, oh, my God, is that El Chapo? Nope, he's got glasses
on.
No, not him.
Glasses. I know El Chapo has excellent vision, and everyone got thrown off. I had to go to Chinese theater.
For what?
My feet are the same size as Eddie Murphy's. Did you know that?
I didn't know that, no.
I put my feet in the footprints, and he's like, hey, look at that, me and Eddie. So that was fun.
Okay. All right, a little sightseeing. That's good. All right.
I went to Walk of Fame, of course. Every time I come to California, I have to go to Walk of Fame.
How come?
I have to pay tribute at Fran Drescher's star.
What?
I love Fran Drescher.
We're learning so much. She was the nanny, yeah.
Oh, funniest show ever on television.
I don't know that people agree with that.
That
was a laugh, yeah.
Oh, Fran Drescher.
Yeah.
Oh, I would give my entire empire for one night with Fran Drescher.
Ooh, all right. Yeah. That doesn't sound good.
Oh,
nope.
Nanny.
No.
Okay. Oh, nanny.
We better get off the phone here, I think.
And Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles, right? Who's with me?
Well, you do have to. I'm with you. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so good there. I had the chicken, waffles.
Right.
And that was it. That's all they sell there.
Thanks a lot for tuning in here on a Tuesday morning. Hey, it's time for another Bee Makes Us Guess.
Bee Makes Us Guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
Bee Makes Us Guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Penis a tick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just wanna tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for Bee Makes Us Guess.
Yes.
And we're committed to that intro. That
love
production
it.
Piece is
it
might be the best intro we have.
That's
it's
the one we're going
now
with.
Now and forever.
All right, Ralph Garman, you are in the game, as is Kevin Ryder. And
who's our new player?
Well, filling in for Allie McKay, who's out sick today, it's Beer Mug, which means the game's going to take a little bit longer than usual because we constantly have to remind him what the category is. But, Muggs, are you ready to play?
Let's do it.
Hello. I sort of like it that way.
He's right in front of the microphone, Kevin. What could be a bigger cue for you?
Let's do this.
Press the
As
button.
You know,
let's just remember that when he guesses, when he starts guessing.
That's right. Kevin yeah, may look right. like the smart one, right. As you know, today is National Pancake Day. But March is a month that is full of commemorative holidays because yesterday was National Cereal Day. Ugh. And we kind of let it pass without comment. But today I have for you Ranker.com's list of, the crowdsourced list of, the best breakfast cereals of all time. Now, this is a classic debate that has happened in almost every household in America at some point. If you had siblings growing up, you always fought over what was the better cereal, right? Well, they've crowdsourced this to more than 80,000 people have voted on this, on the best breakfast cereal of all time. Kevin, I got to tell you.
Kevin might win this one.
I think this is your category, man, because no one likes breakfast cereal more than you do, and the more sugar, the better. And these are your people who voted for this,
all
right?
He's the only guy on the show who still eats like a six-year-old, so he really has the advantage.
This
exactly.
is sad that this is my wheelhouse.
This is you. This is your
This
subject.
Is you, man.
This is Final Jeopardy. You'd be so happy. Take home all the money.
All right. So the best breakfast cereals of all time, again, crowdsourced by more than 80,000 votes at Ranker.com. We are going to try to get the top 10 here today. Kevin, position of honor at the head of the table. You get the first guess. What say you?
Lucky Charms.
Well, Lucky Charms comes in at number 3 on the list of the best breakfast cereals of all time. Well done. Was that the Very one that strong. Had the most sugar, and that's why you thought of it first?
Yeah, it's candy.
I eat it the most.
There's a box of candy with some flakes in it.
That's exactly what it is. All right, Ralph Garman.
I'm going to go classic. I'm going to try to keep it classic. Because I think these people would, you know, across the board. I'd have to say Captain Crunch.
Ooh, good one. Captain Crunch is an outstanding guess, and it is number 6 on the list.
All right, there we go.
A lot of Crunchy fans. Well done. Beer Mug.
I'm going to go with my absolute
favorite. Is it
favorite.
Toyota?
No, come on. My absolute favorite of all time, it's like churro in a bowl when it's done. Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch is your guess.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Number 2, ladies and gentlemen.
Look at Muggs!
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
I'm so out of my element here, standing between you two guys talking about cereal. We got, the human eating machine, and we've got the child. I have no shot. I have no shot at this game.
I'll tell you what, I'm not seeing my grape nuts on this list as far as the eye can see, by the way.
No,
so I wouldn't do very well. Well done. Cinnamon Toast Crunch is number 2.
The best.
All right, so far we have Lucky Charms number 3, Cinnamon Toast Crunch number 2, and I think Ralph had Cap'n Crunch at number 6. We're looking for the other 7. Kevin, you're up.
I would say Fruit Loops.
Number 5.
Yeah,
well
Fruit
done.
Loops is strong.
Ralph Garman.
We have not even touched on the whole chocolate genre of breakfast cereals. So I have to see, if I have to go, I got to go with the classic again, Cocoa Puffs.
Cocoa Puffs,
Strong
I'm
guess.
Sorry, Ralph, is number 11.
Oh, wow.
Just outside the top 10, but a great, great guess. All right, Muggs?
Well, Fred and Barney told me to eat this cereal when I was a kid. I'm going Fruity Pebbles.
I'm going to say Fruity Pebbles is number 8, and Muggs has done it again.
Wow.
Look at you.
Is anyone keeping score, by the way?
No.
That alley usually does that.
Just done on me. No one. I don't see anyone writing down.
I'm ahead.
Kevin
just
and Muggs
I'm ahead.
Both have two. I know that. Okay. So they're, I guess they're in the
lead. And I have one.
Ralph has one.
And you have one. That's right. Okay. You guys are doing great on this, by the way.
I don't think they're all sugar, so I'm going to go Raisin Bran.
Mm. Ooh, Raisin Bran is an interesting guess. Let me see. It is number 14. Sorry, Kevin.
Kevin stumbles. I never thought I'd see the day.
It's like Tom Brady throwing a pick in a playoff game. It's me just trying to get more extreme than I actually am. Just guess the dumb ones.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us, by the way, we're talking about Ranker.com, their list of the greatest breakfast, the best breakfast cereals of all time. They crowdsourced it to 80,000 votes, and we're trying to fill in the top 10. No one has come up with number one yet, by the way. That is still on the board.
Yeah. Again, I'm gonna try to stay conservative. I want to stay in my lane. I want to play the small game, playing small ball. I'm gonna say Frosted Flakes.
Ladies and gentlemen,
that's number one.
Frosted Flakes is number one.
Wow,
number
one. Thank you so much. Thank you. Woo!
I almost feel like there should be extra points for number one. That was well done.
Don't change the rules now.
Yeah, no, 100 I'm not. Points. You're right. 100 points. For number one.
I'm in the lead by seven.
No, all right, Bugs.
I might as well.
It's all tied up. It's all tied up.
It is all tied up. All right, you're up.
Exciting. It's an exciting match.
What's the prize money again?
Mugs? Let's do tricks. Tricks are for kids.
All right.
Tricks spit out is called
are indeed for kids, and they may be on the list, but I've scrolled down to the top 40 and I don't see it there. So apparently tricks are maybe for kids, but they're not for people who filled out this
survey. Ralph is an actual spit take.
Clean up in Ralph's chair.
All right, one more go round, you guys, with a tie game.
He said an advertising slogan as if he just came up with it. I'm gonna go with tricks. Tricks are for kids.
Drop the mic.
Oh man. Like, no one had ever said that before, Muggs acted. That was spectacular.
He may have thought that. He doesn't know why he's saying it, but it sounds good.
Good someplace.
Did somebody say Frosted Flakes already?
Yeah, I did. That was
number one. We made a big to-do about it, yeah.
Frosted there was much fanfare.
Stop
nope, still has been already
Honey
guessed,
Nut
yeah.
Cheerios.
Number four, ladies and gentlemen. Look at Kevin.
Wow.
Kevin is in the lead. It's his game to lose with the game to you, Ralph.
Well, again, I've gotten this far just by sticking to my game plan, which is to go with the classics, the legends, the ones that have been around forever. So I'm going to have to go with Rice Krispies.
Number 10.
Woo!
Look at that. Three to three right now. Muggs, are you still in the game?
Let's see here. I'm going to go with something that I think Kevin would enjoy very much, and that's the Reese's Pieces peanut butter puff cereal, right?
That is number 20. I'm sorry, Mug. That did not make the top 10. It was number 20.
Reese's peanut butter puff cereal. Bad.
Wait, so if I'm correct in the scoring, then Ralph and I are tied and Mug's lost.
Yeah.
That's correct. Shall we do one more and see if we can get a winner here?
Yes, and this round will be 2 points. So
what
if I get it,
can't say
I can
that
win.
Again, because you're behind.
Again, we're not changing the rules, Bugs. All right, let's do one more and see if we can get a winner between Ralph and Kevin since they're both tied.
This is the bomb diggity. Ready?
I'm ready, yeah.
Oh, good.
Count Chocula.
Oh.
Boom. I couldn't believe that wasn't your first guess, Kevin. It's your favorite cereal, but it came in at number 26.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Bogus list.
26,
man.
Yeah.
There's been nothing chocolate in the top 10 to the best of my memory. That's crazy.
Yeah, you were close with Cocoa Puffs, Ralph, just outside the top 10 at number 11. But yeah. All right, one more guess, Ralph. It's for the win.
Apple Jacks.
Apple Jacks.
A is for apple, J is for Jacks, Cinnamon Toasty Apple Jacks.
Did you just
Ladies and gentlemen, yeah! We have a winner. Number seven is Apple Jacks. Ralph Garvin is your Beat Mixes guest champion there. Let me give you the top 10 for the ones that you guys missed. Number 10 was Rice Krispies, was number 10 on the list. Number
I
nine was
Ralph said that.
Rice Krispies. Said that. Go ahead.
Number nine was Cap'n Crunch Crunchberry.
Ooh, Crunchberry.
Number eight was Fruity Pebbles.
Love Fruity Pebbles.
Yeah.
Seven was Apple Jack. Six was Cap'n Crunch. Number five was Fruit Loops. Number four was Honey Nut Cheerios.
Oh.
Number three, did anyone say Lucky Charms? I think we said Lucky Charms.
I said Honey Nut Cheerios and Lucky
Charms. All of these so far. You keep acting like the first time we're hearing them.
And then
Fruity
number two was
Pebbles. Yeah, Buttermug said that. Yeah.
Number two was Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Did anyone say that?
Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Buttermug said that. Yeah.
And number one, nobody got was Frosted Flakes.
So I get Frosted Flakes.
So congratulations, Ralph. You are the winner. This has been Beat Mixes Guess.
Beat Mixes Guess, yeah.
We're going to your calls in a minute at 1-800-520-1067. That is the number we have for Kevin and Bean's What's Good. This is your opportunity to not just be a listener of the show, but to actually be a participant in the show. You can call with questions or comments or problems, whatever you've got on your mind. We'll include your phone calls coming up on K-Rock.
You say problems, but I don't know that anyone's ever called with a problem. Because I'm not sure we're the people you want to go to with a problem.
But we're willing to try, right, though. We're willing to help people out if they want.
Right, but I think they have pretty good sense on this one.
1-800-520-1067. Call now, right now, to talk to Kevin and Bean. Hey, I wanted to ask Chip to explain. I thought Kevin asked a very good question off air before we go to these calls.
Sure.
Which is, how is it you went to the Ducks game last night with an actual dwarf, yet he appears taller than you are in the photograph that you tweeted? What's that about?
And he's not just edging you out. It's 3 to 4 inches taller.
So Brad's standing on his chair.
Oh, it's funny because we can't see that part.
Well, true.
So we're having to take your word for it. Is it possible that...
You know, my word is gold.
Yeah. Is it possible 100%. That you're shorter than Brad Williams?
There's no way I'm shorter than Brad. No way.
I saw the picture. I feel like you guys are close, though.
Brad's on his chair. I'm leaning back with the photo to get us and Wildwing.
Oh,
in there.
You're leaning back now. Yeah. I see.
Yep.
And Darkwing Duck or whatever the mascot is.
Wildwing.
Whatever it is.
Did you stay to the end of the game last night?
Yes.
How much does it hurt your soul to lose in a shootout?
It sucks, but at the same time, we still won 11 games in a row. And mind you, I'm a Dolphins fan. I don't know what 11 wins is.
Well, I mean, it's your entire life with the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Not together.
20 years, I think we've had 11 wins. But that's the first time I've seen a 3-on-3 in overtime.
The 3-on-3 overtime is awesome, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
What happened to light a fire under Anaheim this last few weeks or so? What do you think? What's the difference?
I don't know. Like, it's always
since Christmas, right? They've been on fire.
Yeah, it was a really slow start to the season.
Look, it's not for me to be on the Ducks bandwagon because I'm a Kings fan, but they did start unbelievably bad.
Yeah,
and Chip would come in and we're like, "Look, it's a long season; it's no problem." I think they corrected that. Is all they did.
Yeah, and now everything's firing, and they're just a monster right now.
So now Chip's all of a sudden out there with Brad Williams. Now they're a couple. Who knew that? Right?
What happened Saturday night, by the way, where the Kings and the Ducks played each other?
Awesomeness.
Well, it was at Staples Center. And here's the 1-2 of bad things are going to happen. One, you're at home and you get beat by a rival. And two, the rival's fans are in your house and they're being dicks. So that seems bad. So the Ducks beat the Kings and we were at Staples Center. And everybody's mouthing off like they do, but there's always the one person that takes it too far. There's a couple of people in Ducks jerseys, a guy and a girl. And I didn't hear what they were saying or anything else, but it got to be about in the second period, I think it was. And all of a sudden, the girl throws a full cup of beer at a Kings fan, like, I don't know, 3 rows behind her.
That's a bad waste of alcohol right
there. Right.
Yeah, that's very uncool.
So they start swinging, and it just becomes pretty much a melee. I mean, it's pretty much just a crazy, I don't know, 8 to 10 rows of just throwing down. God.
And is this the kind of deal where now people who were not at all involved in the original skirmish are just fighting because I'm wearing a Ducks jersey and you're wearing a Kings jersey, so we now have to hate each other? Was that happening?
It was sort of weird because I think there were some Kings fans that were friends with the Ducks fans. So I think the Kings fans stood up and said to the other Kings fans, hey, take it easy. And the other Kings fan said, hey, I just took a cup full of beer. You take it easy. And it went off from everybody. There were all types of people fighting.
Dude.
They took out, I don't know, 12 people.
Oh, you mean like threw them out of the game?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
It was insane. Right. And I understand being Team Ducks, and I understand being Team Kings. I understand that a lot more. Aren't we all Team Beer?
Right?
I mean, isn't that the solidifying factor here?
Why does the beer have to suffer?
Seriously, if you want to fight, but hand your beer to someone else.
Was this fight in the stands going on the same time as the bench-clearing brawl on the ice?
No, the brawl on the ice was in the first period.
The first minute, right?
It was basically both teams. They call it a fire sale. They call it a yard sale, which is basically gloves and helmets and every type of pad just littered all over the ice.
And everyone was throwing blows. It was awesome.
It was great. It all started with Horry Perry, and as it does.
Corey. I think you meant Corey.
No, Horry Perry? Yeah. He threw a punch, and then the Kings guy didn't throw it back because the ref saw it. So the Kings guy's like, oh, this is a perfect opportunity for me not to go to the penalty box, but let Horry go. And boom, he hits him again. Corey Perry hits him again, and then it was on. Everybody just threw their gloves and went crazy.
Chip, why did Corey Perry hit the guy?
Corey.
Scory.
Scory, yeah, right. Why did he hit him?
Bean, I'll tell you why. That's what he does. That's
he's awesome.
That's him. He really just antagonizes everybody, and that's what he does. And basically, he tries to get other people into a fight, and that's pretty much expected. But both teams were fighting, and the refs just backed up.
And what, right. Like,
they were just watching with their legs crossed. They were like, all right, well, they're like tired.
And the fight lasted, like, what, maybe 2 minutes? And then it ended up being, like, racking up, like, 66 minutes worth of penalty.
Yeah, there were, like, three players were ejected from the game. It was just insanity.
I know that this is an unpopular opinion among hockey fans, but I hate that they let them fight. I hate it.
Yeah.
And you're a huge hockey fan.
And I accept that hockey fans have accepted that as part of the sport. But I don't think it should be part of the sport.
But do you watch it? Then shut up.
Look, they do the same thing in baseball. They let them fight in baseball.
Right now.
But in football, you'll notice you are thrown out of the game in half a second if you hit a guy. You know what I mean? Like, they do not allow that nonsense in football. But
fighting's
always been
a part of hockey. It always has.
Why is that?
Such a superior sport, Bean.
If it were a superior sport, a different sport, boxing, wouldn't have to break out when you're there to be playing ice hockey. I'm just saying.
It's 2-1.
But that's what it is. So the Kings and Ducks are neck and neck right now playing for first place.
Yeah,
right?
I think.
We're ahead by 1 point.
Yeah. Just passed, I think. Yeah. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:53.
We're going to talk to Chad Smith from the Red Hot Chili Peppers and comedian Will Ferrell.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, they are not the same person,
right?
And they're both going to be on with us at the same time, coming up just after 7 o'clock.
Are they going to be in the room at the same time? Are we going to see them side by side?
No, that was the original plan, I think. But
I wonder why that didn't come to pass.
And they're going to be on the phone now.
Oh, I'm Will. And I'm also Chad. That's what you're going to get on the phone.
Well, maybe so. That's coming up just after 7. First, though, Rob is here with another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday morning. What's going on?
Well, we got the release, finally.
The release?
The 9/11 movie?
No. It doesn't start filming until Monday.
Why is there no update on the Charlie Sheen Whoopi Goldberg stuck in an elevator on 9/11 movie today?
Listen, talk to your producer, okay? I put him on the case.
All right.
No.
That should take care of it.
The release of the full cast of Dancing with the Stars Season 22.
Woo.
Come on. Woo. Here's your lineup. We already mentioned that Kim Fields, Tootie, from Facts of Life, will be dancing.
Okay.
We also mentioned Misha Barton from The O.C. And now we know the rest of the cast. It's all been flushed out.
Farrah Abramson?
No, she did not make the list, although I wouldn't be surprised if you see her up there someday.
Charlie Manson. Kev.
Jodie Sweetin from Fuller House. And we also mentioned that Ginger Z, adult film actress Ginger Z, will be
ABC
as well.
Meteorologist Ginger
Z. Not with a name like Ginger Z. I'm
weather
sorry.
Lady, yeah.
Now we know the rest of the lineup. Here you go. UFC star Paige VanZant will be dancing.
She's also with Leonard Skinner, right?
That's the different VanZant. America's Next Top Model winner Niall DeMarco. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome star Niall DeMarco.
Oh, he or she is terrific.
I have no idea.
So bizarre. It's just a winner from another reality show.
Boys to Men's Wanya Morris. Wow, they're struggling. Then you have your usual collection of football players, including Heisman Trophy winner, former NFL quarterback Doug Flutie. Now, this one was a surprise. Super Bowl MVP Von Miller.
What?
Von Miller!
Wow. Really?
Yes.
From the
Denver Broncos, the most recent Super Bowl champions, Von Miller.
I thought these football players usually do it after they're retired.
Me too.
That's unusual. By the way, I'm getting an update from Casey, Finger on the Button Girl, who says that the model that you mentioned is a deaf guy, which might make dancing difficult for
him. Oh, that's just not even funny. That's not fair.
Deaf.
What are they going to do with Niall?
What's her Academy Award winning deaf actress?
Marlene Matlin.
I believe she was on the show a number of seasons ago and did well. So it seems like an additional challenge, a burden to put on a contestant, but all right.
Where were we? Von Miller, right?
Sure. Von Miller, right.
Donald Trump's ex-wife, Marla Maples. No one has given a rat's ass about Marla Maples in 20 years.
Really?
But because Donald Trump's in the news, they pulled her out of mothballs and they're going to put her up dancing for the coveted mirror ball trophy, by the way, which I resent. Because I take that, I think we should respect the mirror ball trophy, not use it for this sort of just crass commercialism.
I've never heard you say that once.
And talk show host Geraldo Rivera. Geraldo Rivera will be dancing as well. So, there you go, boys and girls. Put down your bets. Put down your bets. Get your wagers in early. Get your fantasy league picks made now for Dancing with the Stars season 22.
I feel like it's the right thing to do to continue to ignore that show.
How dare
for me,
you, sir.
For me.
Is that everyone? Is that the whole list, Ralph?
That is the whole list, Bean.
So they're not holding back any big names to wow us with later?
They do. Wouldn't you think they would use it up front?
They've already knocked us over with Ginger Z.
Oh, that's true.
And Niall DeMarco.
And Marla Maples.
And Marla Maples.
Holy we make crap. Fun of it. That show gets great ratings.
I know. But
it does.
Oh, I'm sorry. Pittsburgh Steelers star Antonio Brown. I forgot to mention him. Another NFLer.
Oh, wow.
Antonio Brown.
Another legitimate star.
Yeah. So there you go. There's a complete list. Speaking of reality television, I miss the Surreal Life. Remember Surreal Life? Surreal Life would put Z-grade celebrities in a house and make them do stuff together. It was like Big Brother with Z-grade celebrities.
Barely.
You don't remember this?
Barely.
It was like Tammy Faye Baker and Ron Jeremy and and Bridget Nielsen and Flava Flav. And they had...
Oh, they hooked up there.
Yeah, they fell in love. Yeah.
That's right.
And you had Peter Brady and Mini-Me, and Mini-Me drove around on a handicap cart and peed in the corner.
That's right.
Come on. It's Surreal Life.
I remember that specifically.
Anyway.
Is it back?
No, I just miss it. because I miss Flava Flav.
Same.
Sure. But the people in Salt Lake City, they got a little sweet action there in that city. They got a little bonus. They woke up saying, oh, this is as good as life gets. No, it gets better. Why? Because Flava Flav was in town to visit his brother, and he just dropped in on Fox 13's Good Day Utah and said he wanted to do the weather forecast. So they thought it'd be fun to have Flava Flav come out and do the weather for all the good people there in Salt Lake City. And it was as insane as you might think it would be. But they're so lucky. Yeah. I want Flava Flav to do our weather in
Agreed.
Los Angeles.
Full time.
Full time. Here's a little audio of Flava Flav dropping some knowledge on the good folks in Utah.
And you know, let me tell you all something. I mean, you know, the weather's kind of, it's going to be kind of good today. You know what I'm saying? This is what we're looking at today. You know what I'm saying? You know, right over here, you know what I'm saying? Over here in Echo. Let's go to Echo. You know what I'm saying? Hello. Y'all heard the Echo, right? Well, guess what? We got 60 degrees over here at Echo. You know what I'm saying? Then also, right over here, we got 62 degrees. Oh, and guess what? Right over here in Eli, 59 degrees. Not bad. You know what I'm saying?
He really needs to say, you know what I'm saying, more. He really needs to. Did you get any information out of that?
No, none.
That's magical.
And it's awesome.
Flava Flav.
Indeed. Flava Flav. He should give the time, not the weather, right?
There should just be a
moment where they cut to him and say, and now here's the time with Flava Flav. This, you know what I'm saying? He just points to his clock. And then they cut back to the anchors.
I like it.
All right. Today's celebrity birthday is Cameron Manheim's 55 years old today. Freddie Prinze Jr. turns 40. James Vanderbeek is 39 years old. Tattoo artist Kat Von D is 34 years old. Milana Weintraub celebrates her 29th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thanks for tuning in. 1 hour away from the Bachelor Report with Ralph Garman and Petros Papadakis. We do for you every Tuesday morning at 8 o'clock. And the lovely Ming-Na Wen from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. joins us later on today. Comedian Adam Ray as well. We got a lot of show. You know, there are a lot of celebrities that look alike, Kevin. Ali is always getting confused between Vanessa Hudgens and Selena Gomez. She can never tell which one is which when they pop up on her TV.
Right.
A lot of times I just sign Ryan Gosling's name when people come up to me for an autograph.
Like you
I just
do,
feel like
right?
it's not even worth fighting, you know, when you look so much alike. But you'd be hard-pressed to find two guys who look more alike than Will Ferrell and Chad Smith, our friend and drummer for the Red Hot Chili Peppers, who, believe it or not, have forged an unlikely friendship for good. Both of them. Allegedly, are joining us on the phones right now. Let's see who we have first on line one here. Will?
Yes, it's me, Will.
Chad? Right. And there's Chad over here. Chad?
Oh, yeah, that's me.
There you go. What's up, boys?
Nothing much. How are you guys?
Well, I got to tell you, every time you come on the show, we try to figure out what the project is.
Right.
And so we were looking for, you know, I don't know, a lineup or a list of things that are going to happen at this event.
Details, you know.
Are there any?
Well, do you remember the last time I called in for a charity event?
You're playing tennis with Billie Jean King, I think.
With Matt Wielander Swedish School of Los Angeles.
Right.
That's right.
You guys remember all the good that the Swedish School of Los Angeles did for the city of Los Angeles?
Sure.
Yeah.
That's good work.
This is a much better cause.
All right. It's the Red Hot Benefit Comedy and Music Show and Quinceañera, which we'll get to that part in a minute. It's coming up on Friday, April the 29th at the Shrine Auditorium. Tickets are going on sale this Friday at 10. All right, since music is in the name, let's start with you, Chad. You tell us what you can about what's happening musically that night.
Okay, well, I'm sort of the curator of the musical part.
Okay.
And there is a shroud of secrecy at this point, so I don't know how much I can really divulge. There will be music. My little group is going to be in attendance, and we'll be performing.
Okay.
Okay. There you go.
So
there's
something.
All right.
There's
little group, meaning the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
That little
clear.
Music group. Exactly. Yes. The up-and-comers from Hollywood.
Right. Yes.
We were thinking, I think Will had a pretty good idea that we've never done this before. Lots of bands, you know, it's kind of popular for them to play their more popular records from back to front kind of thing.
Right.
And we just thought we would just do our complete discography from record one to record 11.
Okay.
Catalog. Great. Was that right, Will? Straight 30, without stopping.
30 years of music. These
okay.
Guys are do.
33, I think it's over 16 hours.
Perfect.
And
okay.
Without stopping.
What are you going to do with the remaining time?
That's a good question. We haven't figured that part out yet.
All right, Will, what are you doing?
I am showing up. I'm going to enjoy the music.
Right. You'll be in the audience.
I'm in charge of
bag ash and snacks.
You're in charge of snacks.
Snacks, concessions.
Okay.
I will be the videographer.
Right.
Unfortunately, I'm in charge of security. So I've got a lot. I'm wearing many hats.
Yeah,
that
a lot of
hats.
Wow.
A busy day.
We can announce that Jim Gaffigan is added to the bill.
Okay. All right.
All right. Jim, myself, I'm going to.
A little something for the ladies, Jim Gaffigan. All right.
Exactly. And, so I will be doing some comedy. Jim and other comedians will be joining as well.
Okay. So, really, you're coming on today to say, look, I'm Will Ferrell, and look, I'm Chad Smith. You guys know me. You trust me. Buy a goddamn ticket on
exactly.
Friday when they go on sale, and it's going to be a good time.
And we are the greatest combination of musician, comedian, / actor who look alike all time.
It's not a very big category. I think you're right, though.
We are the greatest combination of all time. Yes.
Again, details are Friday at 10 a.m. through AXS.com. You can buy these tickets. They start at $75, by the way. It is called the Red Hot Benefit Comedy and Music Show in Quinceañera. Now, let's get to the Quinceañera part of the event, because many of our listeners had their own quinceañeras. They were at one time 15-year-old Mexican girls, as I know both of you were.
Mm-hmm.
What's the quinceañera aspect of your show at the Shrine at the end of April?
Well, I never had one.
That's so sad.
Yeah, so
were you out of town?
I'm finally going to have mine. And, there'll be, pretty dresses and piñatas and one burro.
One burro for the whole audience. That got poor little guy.
Yeah, he's going to be tired.
He's going to be so tired from giving rides at the end of that night.
But that's gonna be a little cultural flavor for the evening.
Okay. Yeah. Why don't you tell us the charities that you're raising money for, if you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Chad, you want to go first? Your charity? Sure. It's Silver Lake Flea School is a nonprofit that is a great great school that he has in Silver Lake, Silver Lake Conservatory of Music. Sounds very nice. Official, but you can go there and learn everything you want to know about every instrument. And then Will does actually have a room where he just teaches, you know, his favorite instrument.
Which is?
The lebwak. Yeah, lebwak, which is, as we all know, the cowbell backwards, subliminally hypnotic, satanic cowbell lesson.
Wow.
Well, I teach a little bit of on the vibes as well.
Yeah.
I'm known as the transgender of...
most people don't know that, but he did master the vibes and moved on to the lebwak.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. That's impressive. This is a very educational phone call here,
really?
We're on the line with Will Ferrell and Chad Smith talking about their event coming up April 29th at the Shrine. Tickets go on sale Friday at 10, the Red Hot Benefit Comedy and Music Showcase, or show, rather, in Kinsenier. And, Will, you're raising money for your friend's cancer charity,
yes.
I got, right?
For Cancer for College, which has been around for 22 years, and we give college scholarships to cancer survivors, high school kids who have no means to go to college.
That's so much better than that Swedish school of health or whatever that was.
Yeah, the that one was not a. I shouldn't have called that day.
Yeah. I think he was doing somebody a favor. That day. Let's just be honest.
Let me ask you guys, because the last time I saw you appear together on TV was the drum off, when you did the famous drum off on the Tonight Show. Now, Chad, did you like what was the mindset going in? Because you want to go easy on your boy here. And, Will, how much prep did you do to get ready for the drum-off?
Will, go ahead with the prep.
Well, I love the fact that it was a drum-off between me
right,
and a professional drummer.
Right.
Right.
One of the best of all time.
That's a stretch. Come on.
One of the greatest drummers of all time, to see who is, quote-unquote, better. A lot of prep, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like a week and a half at least.
Wow, and, okay. That's a lot for you.
I did all hi-hat work. Yeah.
And Chad, what was? How did you handle this with going into it?
You
let up, right?
I didn't want to embarrass myself, which unfortunately happened.
Right. Yeah. Chad, there's no possible way you remember this, but Kevin, I talked to you at one point, I don't know, 10 years ago, and you were so tired of hearing that you look like Will Ferrell.
Yeah, we got in a fight that night.
What happened? You did, actually. What happened? Now you're embracing Will.
Well, you know,
can't beat it?
Yeah, I think at some point you just got to run with it and just go, this is great.
I think the drum-off exercised a lot of demons.
It
saved. It saved me a lot of money in therapy. Thank you, Will, for that. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
That's been
well,
great.
I did notice that Will's face is on your drum kit. I did see that, and I thought that was just rude, but whatever works, right? Whatever motivation, inspiration you need, right?
You know, it's been... In all seriousness, it's been actually really great, and for us to be able to do this, just because a couple guys that have a resemblance.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on. Yeah.
All right. Let's try and recap the event now. April 29th.
Right.
8 p.m. Shrine Auditorium.
Shrine Auditorium.
Red
Check.
Hot Chili Peppers, 16
Check.
Hours of music.
Check.
Will Ferrell taking tickets.
More musical acts to be added, to be named later.
That's right.
All right.
Should we tell them that... I can give you a hint.
Okay, a hint.
A hint,
yeah, please.
Of one of the other acts, it starts with a D. Yes,
but Depeche Mode.
It's not Def Leppard.
Okay, Deftones.
It's not Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees Deep Purple.
All right.
Right. It's Destiny's Child.
Well, we would expect that.
They're reforming. Oh, I let the cat out of the bag. Will, I let the cat out of the bag?
It's one member of Destiny's Child.
All right, someone who knows a member of Destiny's
Child. Fifth member.
All right,
fifth member's sister, I think.
So if any of this sounds good to you listeners, you can buy tickets on Friday. You're going to have to kind of do it blindly.
That's right.
It's
but it'll be worth
epic
it.
How it's going
That's
to
what
be
I meant. Epic.
unforgettable That's one night of awesomeness.
That's what I mean. Okay. Tickets on sale Friday at 10 a.m. at AXS.com. We're also going to give away a couple of pairs right now because we're excited. 1-800-520-1067. You can call right now. Callers 20 and 21. You will win tickets to this event. Everybody else, they go on sale Friday at 10. It sounds like a lot of fun. April the 29th. Will, you know we love you and loved you a long time. Chad, same to you, my friend. Appreciate both you guys getting up early and coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Got it. Always a pleasure, guys.
You know, I have, if you permit me, Kevin, I have to address this because I'm getting a lot of tweets and emails today asking how I'm celebrating National Pancake Day, which obviously you know is today.
Of course. Look,
I have a complicated relationship with National Pancake Day. I love pancakes. I think they may be, arguably, along with toast, the best food in the world. I mean, those are probably my top two, pancakes and toast.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Why?
Toast and pancakes.
They're the best foods, the best two foods in the world, ever. I love pancakes. You know I love pancakes.
Yeah.
You know I'm every Tuesday at IHOP and every Thursday at Denny's, and then I usually have a wild card day that floats throughout the week where I go to a different like kind of mom and pop type place. But here's the problem. You know how St. Patrick's Day used to be fun, and then all the assholes started overdoing it, and every place is packed, and you can't get anywhere near an Irish bar because it sucks. Because
it's fun. Everybody... That's why it's fun.
No, it's been ruined. It's been ruined by the filthy populace. That's what's happened to National Pancake Day. It used to be brother could go to IHOP and get himself some free pancakes. Now National Pancake Day has become such a thing that there's lines out the door. You can't even find parking near an IHOP. It's gotten so popular now. And look, I don't begrudge anybody loving pancakes the way I love pancakes. But if you love pancakes, you don't just show up when they're free at IHOP. You're there all the time. Because I see a lot of faces when I used to attempt to go on my regular Tuesday when it fell on National Pancake Day. I see a lot of faces I've never seen before. And that just means that they're just there for the free stuff. And they'd be there if it was free tacos. And they'd be there if it was free hamburgers.
So,
it just happens to be pancakes.
What? Why do you care?
Because love pancakes or don't love pancakes, but don't be a poser. You know what I mean?
So you're a pancake hipster. You loved pancakes before it was popular.
No, I'm a pancakes purist. That's a very different thing than being a hipster. Look, my love for pancakes has not changed at all. I just don't like what the holiday has become. I'm very uncomfortable with that.
Okay, well, so what do you do when your Tuesday IHOP visit falls on National Pancake Day?
I just don't go. I literally skip a meal, and it hurts, but I'm willing to do it for the cause. But by the way—
What's the cause? You're not slowing anyone down. You're not making a difference.
Forget about me for a second. What's going on in the Kevin and Bean Facebook page right now? Now, I know that Muggs went out for pancakes. Didn't he go to the IHOP down on Miracle Mile and get some pancakes for today?
What's happening
Is he eating pancakes on our Facebook page, on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page right now? Am I watching a live feed of Beer Mug eating pancake after pancake after pancake? Is that happening?
I hope not, because that sounds terrible. Hey, Dave, is that happening? King.
Maybe.
He doesn't know. Did they put up a secret camera for Muggs? Does he not realize that we're watching him eat pancakes?
It looks like it. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
Shh, secret.
Look how fast Beer Mug is eating pancakes. Oh, my God.
That's really just makes me not want to eat ever.
That's a pleasant thing. We had to see that.
Something you want to see.
By the way, this is a great use of the internet, too, isn't it? Is putting up a hidden camera to watch a dude eat pancakes.
there's Dave
waving at it. Facebook page if you want to see it. Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. How many can he eat, I wonder?
Oh, that's endless. How many pancakes did Beer Mug eat? All.
I think I'm not sure the specifics because I boycott this event, but I think you can have as many as you want when you go on National Pancake Day. I think you go to IHOP and they just keep bringing them, is my understanding.
Look at him just cutting those pancakes and putting more syrup on. Look at that.
He is drowning that thing in syrup.
How long has he been eating?
I don't know. I looked up and there it was on the page.
Yummy.
Yummy indeed. Well done.
I don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
But did Donald Trump say something about his penis?
I can't believe Beer Mug is still eating pancakes. How long? We've been gone for 10 minutes. He's eating more pancakes on the Facebook page, Kevin.
That's not a surprise. Do you know
Beer Mug? No, but how many pancakes can he eat?
Oh, we told you. He can eat all.
He can eat all. You can go to Kevin and Bean Facebook page. We did put up a secret camera if you want to see Mugs. He's eating pancakes right now. You don't watch the news because you're a kid. Well, you are missing out on the greatest presidential campaign of all time. And yes, Donald Trump did say something about his penis. Marco Rubio, the senator from Florida, has been for a long time making fun of Donald Trump's tiny hands.
Okay.
But his hands, they don't look that small to me, not compared to Chris Harris of The Bachelor. But Donald Trump's hands may be a little bit smaller than you might expect, but they're not crazy small. But Senator Rubio has made it a thing. So Donald Trump the other day, I think it was during one of the debates, he said, little Marco is always referring to my hands. If they're small, something else must be small. I guarantee you there's no problem. I guarantee. So a man who is running to be the president of the United States made a penis joke on television. That's the level of discourse that's going on in these debates right now. Is he's basically just saying mine's bigger than yours is what he's saying up there. So it's a new low point in American politics, and we still got many months to go before the voting begins. So I suspect it's even going to get lower if that's possible. So Larry Flint has jumped into the fray now, our friend, the founder and chairman of Hustler magazine. And he says, hey, put up or shut up. You're on TV bragging about your penis. I don't see any proof, and I'm not sure what Larry wants to do about that. But we thought we'd get him back on the phone and find out from the man himself what his plan is for Donald Trump. Hey, Mr. Flint, welcome back to the show, sir. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Kevin Bean. How are you guys?
We're very good.
Well, we're doing great, and it's no secret that for a long time you have been very liberal and supported Democratic candidates. So I don't expect anything other than you can't believe what you're seeing among the Republicans going for president right now.
Well, I'm just a firm believer in holding politicians accountable,
right,
and telling the truth,
right. Mm-hmm.
And Donald Trump, on stage of the debate, said, "I guarantee you, there's no problem. I guarantee regarding the size of his penis."
Right. Right.
And right now, we only have his word that he's got a huge penis.
Right. Right.
So I think we need some verification. Ronald Reagan once said, trust, but verify.
Verify, right.
Now, I think we need to take a look at his Scud missile and see if he's telling the truth or not in this particular case.
And so your point is, you don't care about the size of his penis. It doesn't matter to you whether it's big or small. It's just be truthful. Just tell the American people what's up.
Listen, Donald Trump was one of the people who was very vocal about President Obama's birth certificate.
Right, for a long time, yes.
And he kept harping on him, prove your place of birth. He was a truther.
Right.
And so I'm just saying, prove what you say about your penis. I'm a wanger. I'm starting the wanger movement.
All right.
We need some proof to see whether he's got a good size wang or not.
Okay. Now, many times in the past, you have offered large payouts, for instance, to anyone who can come forward and prove that they had an affair with a senator or something like that. But it doesn't make any sense to offer Donald Trump money. So what's the incentive for him to cooperate with your request?
Well, if he's got a big wang, then everybody will know it.
Well, that's true.
That's
right.
Pretty good incentive right there, because they say, oh, it's Donald Trump. He's got a big wang.
Right.
So that would be good for him, I would think.
Now, at the
but
end,
if he doesn't, if he's lying about this, if his penis is sort of a flesh equivalent of Trump University, which is all hype and not really delivering on the goods, then I think he's got a problem.
So you're saying this is his word that we're taking for it. And
right, we need proof.
Now, in your letter to Donald Trump, you say, I have a team of doctors ready today to conduct the examination. How many doctors does that take exactly?
17.
17. Wow.
Doctors. And most of them are just there to remove the spray tan. so we can get down to the actual wang.
Did you ever think you've been around a long time, Mr. Flint, but did you ever think there would come a time in politics where a conversation like this would be happening around a man who has a legitimate chance to be the president?
No, I never thought this would happen. I hoped and prayed, and now it's all come true. And, In fact, I got some documents over here about other presidential penises. I think you'd be interested.
You
do? Let me just climb up the ladder here and get some of them up on the
Larry,
top.
You can. Larry, you're in a wheelchair. Please don't. Oh, no.
What made me think I could climb a ladder?
That's a good question. Well, it was 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:53.
We still have over 800 people on the Facebook page watching Beer Mug.
Why?
Continue to eat pancakes.
Why are people doing that?
I don't know, but a lot of them are driving.
Yes.
That seems bad.
Yes.
Listener Juan posted on Facebook, I parked to watch this. Thank you, Juan.
Okay,
that
good.
Was the right thing to do. A lot of people are like, they can't look away. They're just, they're keeping count. They can't believe how many he's eating. My favorite comment of all, though, because today's National Pancake Day, so Beer Mug's got stacks after stacks of pancakes in there. My favorite comment was, that poor chair. Which I think is pretty accurate. Anyway, if you want,
just
you
look
can see
at
it.
His face. Oh.
I know. He's going for it. How do you have this much? Look, I love pancakes, but how do you have this much enthusiasm for a pancake on your 12th one? That's what's amazing to me.
Dude, this is a new level for the mugs. This is a mess.
Anyway, go to the Kevin Bean Facebook page. It's live streaming right there if you'd like to see it. I have no idea how long it's going to keep going, but he sure seems to not be slowing down. Time for another look at the showbiz beat now. Ralph is here at 7:54. What's happening?
It's a bad day for Allie McKay to be sick.
Why?
Because there's a lot of news I think she would like to talk about. For example, there's Star Wars news. Big Star Wars rumor broke yesterday.
Let's call her at home.
Let's call her up and see how she's doing. How's that migraine? Scream at her over the phone. Rumor is that in the next Star Wars film, Luke Skywalker will be gay.
Okay.
I think that's kind of cool. That'd be kind of cool if Luke Skywalker was gay in the next film. I'm sure they wouldn't make a big plot point about it, but
I would hope not.
That would be an interesting twist, and I think an interesting color for that character.
Now, in the first movie, when he first met Princess Leia, it seemed like he took a little shine to her.
Because it was his sister.
But he didn't know that at the time, though. He just thought it was
not consciously
random hot chick.
But
right?
why would he be attracted to her?
Well, that's my question. I'm just thinking about in terms of the backstory of what we've already seen. Luke Skywalker. He certainly, at least at one point, was attracted to a woman.
No, I'm saying his attraction to her was based on the fact that they were twins. They had a connection, a deep, spiritual and psychological connection.
So he was feeling the Force. It wasn't a romantic.
And
thing.
He misinterpreted that as a sexual attraction, but in reality, he was just attracted to her because they were womb mates.
I will allow that.
See,
yeah.
And so as he grew and as he grew up to be a man, he discovered his true sexual identity.
Here's what I like. I like that we're not going to find out the answer to this until a year from December.
Right, but rumors. And while we're doing the Star Wars sequels. How about a mother-loving Spaceballs sequel, huh? How about Spaceballs 2?
So soon?
Yes, Kevin, so soon.
The original was in the 80s?
I want to say yes.
Okay.
Now, for some reason, Spaceballs has lived on and on and on, much like the movie it was spoofing, Star Wars. And in the subways in New York, there appeared out of nowhere a series of giant posters for Spaceballs 2, The Search for More Money.
When?
Teaser poster. It's you know, Dark Helmet, the bad guy from Spaceballs. It's his helmet, all damaged and burnt, just like Darth Vader's helmet. And it says, The Schwartz Awakens with an even greater helmet. And it's Spaceballs 2, The Search for More Money. So everyone said, oh, this is great. This is a great sign. This is a teaser poster. It's going to happen. So they cornered Mel Gibson. Not Mel Gibson at all. Mel
That'd
Brooks.
Be weird.
It would be weird.
What does Mel Gibson have to say about it?
Mel Brooks was cornered by TMZ in Beverly Hills, and he said, not him.
It's not him.
Not him. Posters aren't his. Here's what Mel had to say.
I wanted to ask you about Spaceballs 2 possibility.
No. It's somewhere in the back of my head. When I bring it a little more forward, we'll talk about it.
Have you seen the posters in the subways in New York?
I was really thrilled.
You heard about
the kids really are are anticipating and expecting.
So that was just a fan art thing. That wasn't...
No, it wasn't us, but it was very encouraging.
And you loved it. You loved it either way.
I loved it.
So he loved it, but it wasn't him.
How about that?
It's in the back of my head. When I move it a little more forward, then I'll talk to you. He just makes me laugh. Just in his life.
Ralph, what do you think the market would be for Spaceballs 2? Is that the kind of sequel that fans would show up for?
I think so.
Yeah, I'd see it.
Everybody grew up watching it. Everybody loves it. Now, sadly, a lot of the cast is gone. John Candy wouldn't be able to come back, and Joan Rivers wouldn't be able to come back. But you get Daphne Zuniga. I'm sure Bill Pullman would come back. Yeah. Rick Moranis, maybe get him out of retirement. Could be fun. I'm all for it, Mel. And do it quicker than later.
I was going to say, how long is it going to take to get? I'm not the one to ask this, but from the back.
From
to
the back
front.
Of the head, up more forward to you, then we'll talk. Today's celebrity birthdays, Milana Weintraub. How much do we love Milana?
All.
She's just adorable and talented and just great. 29 today. Kat Von D's 34 years old. James Vanderbeek.
The Beak.
From, of course, Dawson's Creek is 39 years old. Freddie Prinze Jr.
The Prinze.
Is 40. And Cameron Mannheim.
Nope.
It's not the man?
No. She's
not
from
the Heim?
TV's person of interest?
Not the Cam?
Nope. I don't think so.
Cam Man?
I don't...
Not Can Man, Kevin. Don't get excited. Not Canhead. It's Cam Man. She's 55 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I'm not seeing very much Petros Papadakis on my phone. Are you guys?
No, sir.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll round them up. It's as we do every Tuesday at this time. It's time for the Bachelor Report. Hit it, Steve.
It's time. We got the Big P and Garman, and they watch the Bachelor, so you don't have to, man. Girls drinking hallelujah. Girls crying hallelujah.
Ralph is here now joining us on the phone from the Petros and Money Radio Show at AM 570 LA Sports. It's our good friend, The P. How are you, sir?
Good morning.
Good morning, Petros. It is the stuff of tradition before we get to the finale, before we find out which of these beautiful ladies Ben Higgins will choose to be his beloved. We do have to have the ladies tell all about their experiences, and that's what was last night's show.
And they always look better. Like, each and every one of them looks way hotter when they get them all dolled up by the Hollywood makeup people and run them out there for this show.
Yes, and it was emotional. I say the episode last night had to be emotional.
It wasn't that good.
Oh, come on, P!
P is a tough room.
First of all, you had Jubilee and Jubes taking on the two biracial girls. It was like a sort of a race war, but not quite, because they're mostly the same race. But still,
I did not know that this stuff even existed.
See?
until I was 18 years old and I went to a dorm in Cal Berkeley, where I realized some of the light-skinned girls and some of the darker-skinned girls did not like each other.
Yes,
and then it came to fruition right there at the women tell all. You don't see that very often, other than in the dorms.
And we didn't know what was going on while the show was going on. This is all behind the scenes stuff. But apparently, there was two biracial girls there who were
full black. I'm full black.
And Jubilee said she was full black, and that was like a battle between these girls who was blacker.
Which means, guys, both her parents are black. As opposed to maybe one of them being white or of another race, and then somebody else be, or maybe two.
I mean, we understand.
Parents, like a half white and half black, and a half white and half black together.
Right. I think we understand the concept here. Yeah. But I can't believe on The Bachelor they're fighting for who's blackest. Because, you know, the black ones always go home early. Why would you want to be more black on The Bachelor?
On The Bachelor, that's like fighting over a scarlet letter.
Right? And here's Jamie and Amber talking about how their feelings were hurt by Jubilee and her behavior at the house.
When I first met you, I was like, oh, she's cool and everything. And then, like, you would say these, like, little comments to us, and I would take offense to it. The N-word, or hearing things like, you're not black enough, like, that hurt. And that's why I was, like, standoffish to you a little bit.
You're not black enough.
So the girls really take off the gloves about each other. That's what this Women Tell All is all about, is to find out which girls they dislike the most in the competition.
Yeah, it's really nothing about Ben or anything. No. I mean, you know, he comes out there all awkward, but it's really just the hands pecking.
Yeah, because these girls are all out already, right?
Oh, yeah, out and alone and losers.
And in some cases, mentally disturbed, I think, which is the case with Lace. Lace was the early crazy person. Before Olivia went crazy, Lace was the early crazy person.
It just goes to show most people keep their brains in their upper lip. And if you don't have an upper lip, you're an idiot.
Yeah, Lace is lacking in the upper lip department, I'll give you that. She is sort of a little, she has an overbite. But I think she's an attractive girl, but she seems mentally unstable. Yeah, although she says she's been working on herself.
Okay.
And she was the one who melted down on The Bachelor and recused herself from the competition. She said, I got to go home because this isn't for me. I'm losing my mind. I'm crazy. And she couldn't take the high-pressure atmosphere of a reality television program that had to do with romance.
Right.
So naturally, Chris Harrison asked the appropriate question last night.
I get The Bachelor was not a good fit for you.
Yes.
But I think I know what might be.
Hmm.
I'd like to know if you'd like to go to Bachelor in Paradise.
I knew you were going this way.
Woo! She's not mentally stable enough for The Bachelor, so he's going to put her in a more high-pressure situation on a beach with a bunch of people hooking up.
I hope they inject her upper lip with some brains before she goes down there. Hey, are we going to do a report for that? We don't do that, do we?
We don't do Bachelor in Paradise?
The BIP? Do we do that?
I think so.
I think we do the BIP.
Yeah. All right, yeah.
And so Lace is doing it, by the way. She's going to be
She's
a
doing
of Paradise.
It.
Oh, what a shock.
What about Olivia? She doing it?
Olivia, I don't think they asked Olivia.
Oh, she's straight crazy.
She sucks too much. But they were all on the edge of their seats, you know, begging and praying and hoping and wishing that they all... That's what's next for these people. Now they don't have lives anymore. They're no longer real people.
Right.
Now they belong in the vortex of Chris Harrison and his tiny hands, the fantasia that is this horrible, horrible... This terrible masquerade that we put on every freaking week.
Wow, are you all right?
No. It was terrible last night. 2 hours of just,
Petros, where did the love go?
But Amanda got to defend herself against Olivia. That teen mom comment
cut deep. Well, Olivia's the worst. To sit there and act like she was, you know, to play the bullying card, like the race card in the O.J. trial. How dare you, Olivia? You were the bigger bully out of anybody.
Well, actually, P, in reality, they did go on national television, all the women, and say she had stinky breath and cankles and honked up toes, and they really picked her apart on television.
If your breath is hot, then your breath is hot. You know, people tell those tales. You know, you're out there acting like you're better than everybody. They had to point out that she was not. She was not. That's why I always say, do you think you're better than me? Because you ain't. Because you ain't.
I've never heard you say that.
Oh, it's a big, big, big catchphrase with me.
Well, Amanda got to defend herself and single mothers everywhere last night when she took on Olivia.
Being a mom is something that I am, like, so proud of. My kids are my life. Like, being a mom is my jam.
Yeah. Being a mom is my jam.
Yeah.
It's her jam.
She'd only said John. Yeah. I would have been so much
the best.
Happier with
Ralph
her.
Would have been in.
And then Ben did come out, P, you're right, and they can't really ask him much because we have to wait until the finale to see who he chooses.
Why don't you love me?
Is that what he said?
That's what they said.
That's what the women were saying to him. I see. Because he rejected all these women last night.
But isn't that the show? He has to reject.
He does have to end up with
all
one.
Of those people.
Right. It's only one can stand. It's like the Highlander. There can be only one. And... Harrison had the...
Nobody gets decapitated, though.
No, wouldn't that be great if they did, though?
Oh, God.
It'd be so much a better show. They had the twins out there. Those are the first two I would decapitate, those two twins from Vegas who were just boneheads.
They did a good job in the camera positioning because the twins are going to talk the most because they're empowered by each other.
That's right.
But behind them, they had the biggest rack of any girl.
I know. That was crazy.
So it was perfect. It was like right between the twins' heads were the real twins. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think we know what you're saying. Yeah,
remember that Coors Light with the twins? Remember that?
Yep.
Yeah, that was stupid with the girls in the shoulder pads. Why would you wear shoulder
pads? What's happening right now?
Are you drunk?
Petros, what are you doing?
Look, I had a Taiwan on pretty good last night to get through this thing.
Hey, so Chris Harrison has the only question that really matters of our Bachelor Ben about the twins. Here it is.
So I told you I had a huge question for you.
Yeah.
So... Haley and Emily are here.
Weird.
Can you tell me which one Emily is?
Which one Haley is?
Come on, don't do this to me.
Can you identify which twin is which since you made out with both of them? Can
That's
you pick
unfair,
it out?
By the way.
That's unfair.
That's unfair.
Awesome, right?
Yes.
Awesome.
I can identify them. They're totally different.
They're not. They're identical.
Aren't they
twins.
Identical?
Nah, Emily's hotter.
Well,
all right.
Could he tell the difference?
Our boy Ben did get it right. But in defense, he had a 50-50
shot.
I was pretty proud of him.
God cut Haley's face with a cheese grater or something.
Oh, my God. Wow, you're a bully. You should be on that show. P, you all right?
You know, sort of. I mean, look, I could not believe how bored I was by the Kayla thing. The Asian girl.
You know she's going to be our new bachelorette, P. That's the word.
No, that's a lie.
That's the word on the street.
Yeah, but you know what? That's just because they caught her with cameras. And that could be because she's getting ready to shoot the Bachelor in Paradise.
Oh, could be.
You know, like they follow her around town, you know, because she's too boring to be the bachelorette. And it can't be Jubilee. Did you hear about how Amy the Shoom Dog Schumer went after Chris Harrison for calling Jubilee complicated? And it's okay to be complicated?
No, I did not hear that.
Oh, yeah, big story in Twitter today.
All right, I'll do my research. Hey, listen, we'll check out with you next week when we hit the finale, all right, brother?
Well, you know, this one, there was no oomph here, you know, Ralph? There wasn't much for us to work with this week.
I enjoyed myself enormously.
Next week, though, it's on, P.
You just like Harrison.
It's the end of the journey next week.
Yeah, who do you think you're going to pick?
You know me, I'm Team JoJo, Delicious Taco, all the way.
Yeah, you're right. I don't like that. You know what happened? They found out something about Lauren B., too.
Yeah, I saw that.
She got arrested drunk in public. Guess where?
Where?
At the Weenie Roast.
Where?
Stagecoach.
Oh, Stagecoach.
Sure. Everybody drinks there.
Yeah.
It's country music.
All right, my kid's up. He wants to talk about The Bachelor.
All right, I'll see you later next week, Pete. Bye now.
That's right. It is time for the original Rodney on the Rock show. Got some new music here. And plus all your favorites, things you heard last week and weeks before and weeks in the future.
What?
Right here on Rodney on the Rock.
Wait.
And here are the Monkees.
Wait, you're playing songs from weeks in the future? How does that even? I don't.
That's so much better than we are.
I guess so. We don't have that deal. Hey, we're awaiting the arrival of our good friend, comedian Adam Ray, by the way. Actor, comedian. He's going to tell you about his new game show on TBS tonight with Eliza Schlesinger. And that reminds me that Eliza is on this year's lineup for Kevin Amin's April Foolishness 2016, which is coming up fast on Saturday, April 2nd at the Shrine. There still are some seats available if you want to join us for that. It is the best night of comedy anywhere all year long. Jay Moore is on the bill this year. Bob Saget, the great Eddie Ift, Fluffy himself, Gabriel Iglesias is going to be performing, Greg Fitzsimmons. And have we had a musical act before on April Foolishness, or is this the first time? We have. We had Tenacious D, of course, right?
Last year was Tenacious D.
Tenacious D, right, yeah. Wheeler Walker Jr. is going to be performing. So, and Tim Minchin, I guess, was another one who was a musical act in the past. So, we always love to mix it up like that. So, it's a phenomenal lineup. Tickets are on sale right now through AXS.com. Thank you for everybody who's already bought the tickets. We're looking forward to seeing you at the show on April 2nd. All the proceeds, again, this year benefit Fisher House and Cedars-Sinai NICU. We're also bringing back the Kevin Amin opening act contest. And I think this is a great opportunity for a comedian to take that next step in their career.
Well, I mean, if you're the opening act, you can say for the rest of time that you opened for any of these people.
Right.
For Fluffy, for, you know, Greg Fitzsimmons, for Jay Moore. It's quite a lineup to be the opening act for.
We had a lot of people enter last year, and we just opened up the category this year at the KRock.com and the Kevin Amin page. All you have to do is go on there and upload 2 minutes of you doing comedy. And you can be a complete amateur. I mean, it's possible you've never been on stage before but have always wanted to do comedy. But if you've got an act and we like you, we'll put you on the bill. Or you can be somebody who open mics all the time, plays around town, just looking for that big break. This could be perfect for you as well. We did finally find Priscilla's video. Remember she called us yesterday? She said she was good at karaoke, so she thought, why not stand up?
Right.
And that's logical.
And then she said that she uploaded a 5-minute video.
Right.
We said, two reels.
In contrast to the 2 minutes that we asked for. And then we asked Dave after the show, we're like, hey, that Priscilla that called it, how's your video? And he's like, I didn't see it.
We found it. She put it on the Facebook page for some reason. So she kind of violated really everything we were asking for. So don't be like Priscilla. Go to the Kevin and Bean page at KROQ.com, upload your 2-minute comedy video, and then stand by. I think the deadline is coming up on the 28th, I want to say. And then we'll pick the top 10 and play them back in the air and give you, the Kevin and Bean listener, a chance to vote on who you want to see open the show. But it's going to be a great night. I mean, it always sells out. So definitely get your tickets if you haven't bought them yet through AXS.com. It's coming up on April 2nd at the Shrine. And thanks. Adam Ray is in the parking lot, and we'll catch up with him when we return right after this on K-Rock. All I know is before he was in the Ghostbusters movie, Adam Ray was always on time. I mean, early with donuts. Kevin and Bean, it's such an honor to be here. I'm such a big fan. I love you being on the show.
That's still true.
Oh, not anymore. Speaking of, you just you wander in whenever you can, you know, whenever you get here.
Yeah, I didn't actually forget I was booked. I was just driving by, and I thought it'd be cool if I popped in. You know why I legitimately got held up, and this is going to sound like an excuse, but there's a section near my place.
That's an excuse.
Where there's a lot of cross-dressers.
Of both genders, I believe.
And they do a lot of dancing outside of this in one donut shop,
It causes a disturbance?
It causes a disturbance. It causes a strong distraction because the choreography is on point.
I feel like you're making up things now.
Yeah, but I'm not.
Okay.
So also,
there's that.
Familiarize yourself with this intersection, and you too will never be on time again.
I am being told that Adam is not lying. It's Highland and Santa Monica at the donut time. Apparently, they put on quite an early morning show.
How did you know that, Bean?
I'm being told by Casey on the button. She's apparently has driven by that same show.
It's
so
unbelievable. At one point, I saw like four of them. First of all, I don't know what it is about the smell of apple fritters that makes them want to bump and grind, but they are breaking it down. And at one point, I was like, are they doing the choreography to Grease Lightning? Because at one point, they were all doing like a fist pump thing. And you can't help but stop and watch.
I'm going to say that's an acceptable reason for being late.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Brad was going by in a funky duck. And that will make you stop. A dwarf on a funky dunk will make you stop anything.
All right. Since we only have one segment with you today, we're going to have to really burn through because you've got an awful lot of things going on. First of all, you just came back from Hawaii.
Just came back from Hawaii. I was doing season 3 of Adam Devine's House Party, which is airing right now on Comedy Central.
Nice.
Adam he got me on the first season, and he lets me come back to do the audience warm-up and the digital content. First of all, he's probably my most famous friend, and I didn't realize when you really start to get a real famous friend, some of the perks you get. Like when we were on tour, the second night he was like, hey, you guys want to go to this free Kings of Leon concert? I know some guys in the band. Like, we can go to the show. I was like, dude, hell yeah, Adam. That's what you bring to the table for being at that level. I'm not on that level. I would love to go to a free Kings of Leon concert. And afterwards, if you guys want some free broccoli cheddar soup, I got a friend who manages a Panera not too far from here. So
it's not quite on the same level.
No, but it's free soup, so don't be
snobby.
Yeah. But Hawaii was the best because it's just – I'd never been before, and it's so –
You've never been to Hawaii before.
So laid back and so chill, and it was so tough to find weed, though, which was a bummer because everyone is so laid back and nonchalant that actually –
Sort of they don't need it?
I guess, or maybe they just have it so much. But literally, I saw a guy look like he had it, and I was like, hey, man, you look like you got pot. Do you know where I can get some weed? And he was like, just follow your heart, bro. I'm like, what the hell does that mean, dude? You're actually making it more difficult to get stoned out. And they're in such good shape, man. 80-year-olds with six-packs walking around.
Yeah.
If you want to feel bad about yourself, just go to Hawaii and see dudes that just eat pineapple and wind and get the Chuck Norris. But but Hawaii was the best. I mean, I get why people.
How long were you there?
3 weeks. And I met a couple. That was time to come back.
I was going to ask if you could live there because I
got a little cabin fever. I've met some people out there who are like, you know, they're like, yeah, I came here for 6 months, and you know, 12 years later, here I am, and I'm like, yep, still serving me Bloody Marys at the pool. But you know, we all had dreams.
They're living the dream.
I wanted to be a Ninja Turtle, so.
So, all right. So after Hawaii, then you come back, and then you go to New York City.
Went to New York City to headline Gotham Comedy Club.
You're in a wedding.
I was in a wedding, my buddy from high school's wedding, and here's the great part about reminiscing with high school buddies. You reminisce about so many just great old stories and happenings, but also people that you went to high school with that you completely forgot about. And I was reminded of, we started talking about like just the funny names we went to high school with. I think everybody had probably a collection. So two girls that I went to high school with I completely forgotten about that I need to somehow incorporate in my act. One, her name was Bitch Ho.
No.
Yeah. Asian. B-I-C-H-H-O.
bitch.
Wow. Oh.
That's not difficult for her.
And that's just a first name?
That's her whole name.
Holy.
Ho is her last name.
First and last.
So there's many hoes walking around somewhere of the bitch nature.
So she goes by bitch?
Yeah.
That's not... What's happening?
I mean,
All right, bitch ho, what else?
Bitch ho, Audrey Klitgaard. K-L-I-T-G-A-R-D.
Was a real person, and that was her name.
I mean, I was like, dude, what were the other options at Ellis Island if that's what they gave her?
Is that how it works?
Like, penis cover was taken? I don't know.
Could you have forgot about Audrey? Why haven't you thought about Audrey every day since you got out of high school?
There's been a lot of dancing trannies outside donut shops. I've been distracted. But, so that was a lot of fun. It was New York is always a blast. But I'm now in town for a while to...
Yes, you are in town, and I want to mention this because you've got a bunch of dates coming up this week. Starting Thursday night, you're going to be at the Ha Ha Comedy Club in North Hollywood, then the following night at the Improv Lab, also in Hollywood, and then Saturday at the Comedy Store in the Belly Room there in Los Angeles, and then Sunday, the Electric Lodge, in Hollywood Improv Lab. This is, four different venues.
Yeah, and Brad and I have another About Last Night live podcast on March 21st at the Hollywood Improv Lab, 8 o'clock, March 21st.
All right, certainly a busy time for you. Website, by the way, is adamraytv.com. Speaking of TV,
yeah,
we had Eliza in a couple of weeks ago.
Hilarious.
And she was explaining Separation Anxiety, which is the game show that you guys kind of host together, right?
Yeah.
Like, she's technically the host, but you're on it just as much as she is.
Cool. Tell everybody that.
And it airs to –
My mom knows that, but everybody else.
It debuts tonight, right?
Tonight is the premiere, baby. All 10 p.m. TBS.
For people who didn't hear the description, what is it?
Well, so basically people think they're a couple, whether it's two best friends, a couple that's been married or dating, they think they're playing on a crappy internet game show with me. They come in, they get separated to play one at a time, but one of them actually gets taken to the main stage, the big game show with Eliza, the other one stays with me, and they think they're playing for $25 all the way up to $2,500. Every question is actually worth 100 times more than that, so the person with me is actually paying for $250,000.
And they don't have any idea.
And they have no clue.
Wow.
They think they're playing on this crappy internet game show, and the person with Eliza, they're picking the categories for the questions the person with me is going to answer. So
now,
Eliza's
what's
like
the advantage of help me understand, because I haven't seen the show yet. What's the advantage of fooling them by how much money they're paying?
Well, you're seeing how well they know each other, because they're actually working together without the person with Eliza. They're watching us on a big screen, so
person knows what they're actually playing for.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah, but the person with me doesn't. So the stakes of, because you know, they'll get, some people would get to 1,000 one question away from 2,500 or $250,000, and with no helps left, you get two helps, and they'd be at 1,000, and you give them the option to walk away, which would be walking away with 100,000. But a lot of them are like, "That's just 1,000. I came here to play. It's a crappy internet game show.
It was fun. Let's go."
And then the other person, I hear them in my earpiece being like, "No, what are you doing? It's $100,000. Like, I'm gonna divorce you after this for sure." And so the stakes are really high. I have an earpiece in the whole time, so I'm like a puppet for Eliza. So she can tell me to do whatever at any time. Like, I'm having this whole other separate show. I have to just vamp this whole time to keep up the illusion that there's another show going on.
Right.
And Eliza, when they lock in their categories, like, "All right, Adam, we've got our next question. Now, before you ask Kevin this next question, find a way to touch his skin and tell him he's got a great complexion, and you hope you can continue this friendship via the internet and hopefully in real life," or whatever. So I'm listening to that as I'm wrapping up my conversation, and then I'm like, "All right, you want to keep playing? Let's keep playing. Yeah, yeah." And then I'll just, like, quickly graze his face, and then he kind of, like, steps back, and I'm like, "You have great skin, man." Like, and by the way, and I'll, like, lean in and be like, "I hope we can continue this friendship, like, way after the show." Like, just – you just commit – really. So there's a lot of comedy there because, you know, everyone's watching that on the big screen and at home. And
so there's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on. There's money. And it's an hour. So you get to know these contestants, which I think is what a lot of game shows miss. Like, Wheel of Fortune, Pat Sajak, he doesn't care. He's like, "What's your favorite color? Where are you from? Guess what? I don't really give a damn."
He talks to him for 7 seconds and then moves on.
And he's not even listening, you know? So this you really get to know him. And the casting was great. These couples, there's this two Asian sisters that hadn't seen each other in like 2 years, and they like reunited on the show. There was a proposal. It's just the relationships are really strong, and it's terrible. So
they're related to bitch.
Bitch Ho did not make the cut.
Oh, okay.
Which, you know, now looking back in retrospect, that is a giant mistake.
All right, let me
by the
ask
network.
You this question: how many episodes did you film, Adam?
We shot 22. I think 14 are definitely airing. And if you guys watch, I think they're going to add another 6.
Okay, so that's dozens of couples that you had
go
through the ringer here.
Yeah.
Do people know each other?
Oh, yeah.
What's your conclusion on whether you really do know the person you're, you know, living with or dating or best friends with?
Great question. These couples, I mean, yeah, you really put to the test. Some of them, I mean, for me, it's like, you know, the dudes.
Like, how would you and Brad do on this show if you guys went on as contestants?
Because you're great. A lovely couple.
We are, yeah, we are just a footstool away from being married. We, you know, I feel like the more we've spent time with each other, I mean, I know that if I catch him having sex, I'm going to make a wish. Like, I know that much.
Okay.
So, like, I know that he doesn't. Now, getting to know him, I know that he, you know, that he does drive, you know, because when I didn't know that, you know, I didn't know that little people drove. When you don't know much about something, you create your own limitations about what's possible. And when we were leaving a comedy club 2 months into hanging out, he was like, do you want a ride? And I was like, on your dragon? What are you talking about, man? Oh, you have a car. Great. So, like, now that I know that, like, and I know his favorite band, I know that he used to work at Hot Topic. I feel like I know a lot, but also.
Could you do this game with him?
Yes, but I think it would be a test, you know, because, you know, picking the category. If the categories were sports versus fashion, yeah, I would pick sports.
Right.
So, you
right.
know, but then. There's some. I mean, there's probably some things like I don't know geography. I don't think he knows, but I geography and history. If you put those two up against, I probably wouldn't be as strong.
Do couples fight? They get mad at each other?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, they're you know
you
they have though. Do we what?
Do you break up the couples?
One of them might be. There might be one couple that left that game show in a tough situation, but.
This is the voice of our friend Adam Ray here on the Kevin Beach. You're talking about his game show, Separation Anxiety, along with Eliza Schlesinger. It's going to be tonight at 10 o'clock on TBS. It sounds really, really fun. All right, before you go, Adam. And again, your fault you don't get more time, but you're late.
I think we packed it all in, though. We talked about 20 donut dancers.
One more topic.
Yeah.
The internet exploded last week when your Ghostbusters trailer dropped. Your thoughts on the reaction?
I mean...
Adam is in the film, in case you're wondering why.
I'm in the film, and there's another. I have another part in the film that I'll probably come back on and announce, but I can't now.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I don't even want to, like, leak to it, but it's pretty awesome.
Okay.
Right.
Good.
It's, yeah, I'll just say that, but I'll come back on. But
I Stay Puft Marshmallow Man?
Oh, man.
Be pretty cool.
Close. I thought it was awesome. I think any backlash, even if I wasn't in the film, I would still think it was awesome because I have a problem with people that get so wrapped up. It's been 30 years. It's a the effects are going to be way better, which I've seen some of. It's a different story. Like, you just have to separate. I mean, but I know that if you love certain things so much, like, you know, obviously, like, my dad had a mustache my whole life. When he finally shaved it, I was like, who are you and where are my Pop-Tarts, you know? And so I get that, like, you getting used to something and then it changing, but it's...
Was
it's
it ridiculous
The
to
women
you,
crush the, it. They're so funny, and, like, it's just, it's going to be awesome, but I
the
get...
The racism claims, though, about Leslie Jones's character seemed unwarranted, I thought.
You know, I see things like that. It's completely unwarranted. You know, it's just another thing that people with... a lot of time want to create controversy about, but you know, that's and you know, you see things like that, and I was like, oh, I didn't even give any validity to that as a possibility of being racist.
You just dismiss it because it's stupid.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, because you got your white man blinders on, right?
Yeah. I mean, if Bitch Ho was in the film and they made her work at like a Panda Express, I'd be like, all right, there's a problem with this. We got to make some script changes.
When is Ghostbusters coming out?
July 15th.
Okay, so we'll see you before then.
Oh, yeah, oh, definitely.
We'll see you before then. All right. Adam Ray, 4 nights of comedy this week all over Southern California, Thursday through Sunday night. Get the dates and times and buy your tickets at adamraytv.com. Separation Anxiety airs tonight on TBS. Great to see
Watch
you again,
it.
My friend.
I love
Thanks
you guys.
For coming in.
Thanks, buddy.
Kick him in. Ow. Ow.
That's not music. My day.
Okay, loud. Loud.
That was loud.
My day, Frank and Dean and Sammy would sing songs.
Hey, the lovely Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. star Ming-Na Wen joins us coming up just after 9 here on K-Rock. I know it's time for the showbiz beat, Ralph, but I'm very disappointed. No updates on my Charlie Sheen Whoopi Goldberg movie today.
I gave you the update.
He's obsessed
now. It starts shooting on Monday.
I need to know more about whether it's really for reals happening, though. I mean, I know you say
what
it's shooting on Monday.
What more can
but...
it be than they're starting production?
Because...
How much more real could it be to convince
I thought...
you?
Between yesterday's show and today's show, I thought somebody would have come out and said, yeah, we pranked the media. You guys all fell for the fact that Whoopi Goldberg was going to be stuck in an elevator on 9/11, and we gotcha. But you're still sticking with your original story.
It's not my story.
You just didn't believe it.
So you want
I still don't believe it.
Right.
All right.
asshole.
Hey, it's not my fault. What else is going on?
Before I get to some more entertainment news, I want to give you something. This is one of my favorite times of the year. This is when the Paley Center for Media does their annual Paley Fest. And Paley Fest is, well, if you're a TV fan, it's the greatest time of the year. It's like Christmas. Because you get to meet all of the cast and creative teams behind some of your favorite TV shows. An amazing lineup this year, thanks to the good folks at the Paley Center. Empire, Scream Queens, Blackish, Supergirl, which, by the way, news broke this morning, looks like is going to get a second season
from
CBS, which is, it's been so good. Scandal, Big Bang Theory, Fear the Walking Dead, American Horror Story, and more. If you would like to attend an evening with the cast and creative team behind some of your favorite shows, you can go to paleycenter.org. You should join. Join up, because they're a great organization, formerly the Museum of Television and Radio, but they've got an amazing building there in Beverly Hills where you can go and look through their library and watch old TV shows, and they've got everything there. It's really an outstanding organization. You can see all the details there, and then you can get your tickets for the Paley Center. I've got tickets right now for one of the nights that they're doing. It's happening at the Dolby Theater on March 12th. Wildly popular show, critically acclaimed. Everybody loves it. If you loved Breaking Bad, then you know what I'm talking about. Better Call Saul!
Yeah!
You want to tell the world you're in love with a girl named Fran? So you find an overpass and you say it with a spray paint can. Blue lights start a blinking, those handcuffs click. You know who to call and you better call quick.
Who?
Saul, you better call Saul. You'll fight for your rights when your back's to the wall. Stick it to the man, justice for all. You better call Saul.
Come on! The show's great. It's happening on the 12th. If you would like to attend the Better Call Saul evening, why don't you give me a call right now? 1-800-520-1067. First four callers through that number get a pair of passes to attend an evening with the cast and creative team behind Better Call Saul.
It's good fun.
Saul, Better Call Saul. Love that.
I love that Junior Brown. He's great.
Yes. Big Twitter war. Big Twitter beef.
Uh-oh.
Now who?
It's down. It's going on.
Kanye and who?
No, close enough, though. Kim Kardashian.
This is Kanye. All right.
This is Kanye starting to take shots at people. Well, she posted that nude picture of herself from, I don't know, 2 years ago or whatever.
Right.
And, well, I just don't have a thing to wear or whatever lame-ass thing she wrote. And everybody's like, just okay. Really enough.
I didn't say that. It's a pretty good picture.
Bette Midler took a shot at her, which was very funny. And then Chloe Grace Moretz, who was just not only beautiful, but talented. She went online and said, I truly hope you realize how important setting goals are for young women, teaching them we have so much more to offer than just our bodies. A reasonable response, I think, to the media attention that that photograph was getting, self-generated by Kim Kardashian.
No name calling? No.
Not a thing.
Yeah.
Kim Kardashian responded with, let's all welcome Chloe Grace Moretz to Twitter since no one knows who she is. All right, look.
You think she says, Kanye, what should I write?
It seems like he took over her Twitter feed.
That is very Kanye-esque.
Not only is Chloe Grace Moretz a remarkably talented young actress, but
very
has
accomplished.
Been in several smash hit movies and has starred on Broadway.
Yeah.
If you don't know who she is, that's not on us, Kim Kardashian. I think maybe Kim Kardashian has no experience knowing anyone who's talented. Maybe that's why she's confused. Maybe that's why she doesn't recognize the name.
Oh, she goes in the talented circles.
Is she not on Yes Hab? So now it's on. Now everyone's chiming in. And
here we go. It's on.
Yeah.
Race war.
I don't know if it's a race war.
Race war's on, everybody.
I don't believe
it's going down.
I don't think.
It's going down.
I don't know if
race war.
I don't think race war is an apt label.
But I'd also like to say, I'm Team Chloe on this, absolutely. But I'd also like to say, let's not discourage Kim Kardashian from being naked if she wants to be naked.
Yeah, because you can't see that anywhere.
Well, I'm just saying.
Then
just
she put out another picture, said another nude picture saying, hashtag liberated.
Yeah.
And people were responding saying, that's really not being liberated. That's just being naked on the internet.
It's just
really taking
your clothes off.
Yeah. Somebody's juxtaposed two pictures of, like, survivors of concentration camps.
Mm.
Women
that's
who,
liberating.
Women who had survived showing pictures of themselves behind the barbed wire when they were as little girls, and then juxtaposed with that picture saying, this is liberated. This is just you saying, look at me.
Now, let me ask you this question, Ralph, and I know it caused, I'm asking for speculation here, but Is Kim Kardashian the type of person who lashes out like this, or is it possible that this is Kanye who's responding for his wife in this case because he cannot take an insult?
Or have whatever spores infected Kanye's brain been transferred to Kim, and now she caught it.
Now she has the disease.
It's
okay.
One of those sci-fi episodes. It's just like on Star Trek when Mr. Spock gets a face full of spores, and he changes his personality completely, and he falls in love with Jill Ireland, and he's just not the same guy. He's all emotional. He's not the cool, calm, collected Spock we all know and love. And Jim Kerr's got to step in and get him all fired up to burn the spores out of his brain. You know, it's like that.
Sure.
Does that ring a bell?
It's just like that. It's exactly like that.
I'm just saying, Kim Kardashian caught a face full of spores.
She's a whore.
Oh, come on, sir. That's uncalled for.
That is uncalled for.
I will not allow you to slut shame a fine American like Kim Kardashian West. I think she's cheesed off because Khloe Kardashian spells her name with Grace Moretz spells her name with a C.
Mm. Oh, there you go.
K. That's against the code of honor right there. Does not spell Khloe with a K.
The code of honor?
Yeah. All right. code with a K. Today's celebrity birthdays. Milana Weintraub. We love her. You know her as Lily from the AT&T commercials, but she's so much more. She's funny and talented and a great sketch and improvisational comedian. And she's also doing wonderful things for refugees with her charity as well.
And she got me a great deal on an AT&T plan, too, which I appreciated very much.
Because she's a spokesperson.
Because she does those commercials.
Because she does the commercials.
Unlimited data. You can't beat it.
Being 29 years old today. Kat Von D is 34. James Vanderbeek is 39. Freddie Prinze Jr. celebrates his 40th birthday. And actress Cameron Mannheim celebrates her 55th birthday. We were speculating as to where she had been after the practice. And turns out she's on one of Kevin's favorite TV shows that he watches every week.
Didn't even occur to him.
We're all having a conversation. Whatever happened to her? I don't know. I don't see her. I don't see her on television either. It turns out he sees her every week on Persons of Interest, one of his favorite shows.
She's on a lot, too.
She's
on a lot.
She's not. She's on a lot on that show.
She's, yeah.
And yet it didn't spark you to say
not
to
even
us
a little bit,
when
no.
we're asking that question.
Nope.
Hey, I know where she's been. Nothing.
Nope.
Kevin, God damn it.
Just keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I'm going to let the kids in on a little behind-the-scenes Kevin and Bean action here. The longest-running argument we have on this show, the thing that almost comes to blows in the office, is who loves Ming-Na Wen most? And I still contend it's me. I still think I love her more than you guys
not
love her.
Not even just hardly.
I really do. I feel
just
like
stupid.
I feel like I've made the argument.
That's absurd.
Well, she is back in studio with the Kevin and Bean Show, and Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. returns tonight, ladies and gentlemen, at 9 o'clock on ABC. Ming-Na, how are you?
I'm very good. I'm excited to be back. Thank you.
It's our pleasure. So, you said it feels like season 6 for you, but it's really the back half of season 3 is where we're at on the show.
Yes, yes. And, you know, the fans have been really anticipating our return because of this incredible cliffhanger that we left them with.
Zombie Ward. Just what we needed.
Zombie Ward.
Great.
You got to have a zombie these days to make a show a hit.
What's it going to take to get rid of Ward? He's just such a bad dude. We got to take him
out. I feel like it's going to take more now than it would have before. Four.
Right, because now he's got a super-powered alien god living inside him.
Wow, you got that, huh?
Yeah, listen, we
watch. You read the stuff about what he turns into, right?
Well, that I didn't
read about it.
You didn't?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe then some of the fans didn't either, so it'll be a big surprise.
He turns into something
amazing. This Marvel amazing character, yeah.
Oh, he becomes another character from the Marvel Universe?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I need to leave the room now and go do some research on the internet. Not that I don't want to be part of this conversation, but I'm not going to sleep unless I find out what's going
on.
Yeah,
our writers have been amazing in like incorporating all the Marvel characters, you know, the classic ones, as well as adding some new ones. And
it seems like they're so good at not wasting any of your characters either. They somehow keep it all afloat. Which
yes.
is really amazing.
Yes.
It's an amazing job they do.
But
yes.
it is great how
we're just great actors.
Well,
too.
That's that too. Yeah.
Just kidding.
But it's nice how, though, they aren't slaves to sort of the comic book canon. They do go out of their way to incorporate elements and characters from that world and weave it in, which just makes it so much fun for those of us who have read the comics our lives.
Yes, and also incorporating it with the cinematic universe.
Right.
Like all the
Civil
Wars coming
up. Spinning, isn't it?
Somebody's doing. I think Jeff Loeb is one of the main guys that's keeping it all together. He's
there has to
ridiculous.
Be a wall somewhere that has a million little sticky pieces of paper up on it, trying to keep everything straight and how everything intersects with everything on TV and movies, right?
I guess so.
I guess they're called post-it notes, really.
It
is a post-it note.
There's a bunker somewhere. There's a Marvel bunker. They're hatching evil plans. But we've seen the rise of the Inhumans now. They've sort of joined up with you guys to help you fight alongside the Inhumans as opposed to battling them, which has been awesome last season.
Right, but I was actually nervous for, you know, characters like Agent May who really just have skills and no powers. Well, how do we fight that, you know?
Your skills are pretty good.
Yeah, well, with other humans, but when it comes to the Inhumans,
but you have experience.
We have to cheat.
You have experience. You've got guts. I think we have a scene from the final episode from the first half of this past season where you guys are just about going to battle. And yeah, there's Inhumans and they've got superpowers and stuff, but they're weak. Weak ass.
They cheat.
They cheat.
They do. So we have to cheat back. You know, I got to like hit them in the back of the head. Like, really do. Really.
Dirty fighting.
Dirty fighting. That's right.
Here's Agent May telling you how it should be done.
Okay, we definitely want to avoid the guy with the suit. He's telekinetic.
Is that the one where he can read your mind or move stuff with his mind?
Move stuff.
Good. I don't want anyone knowing what I'm thinking right now.
You mean that you're not a hero? That you're freaking out and want to be anywhere but here? We're all feeling that.
I'm not.
Yeah, I'm not. What you bring to the table? I'm not freaking out. I'm looking to kick some ass. Stand aside, humans.
Hey, speaking of which, I got you guys a little something-something.
What?
For K-Rock.
What? Oh, that's pretty cool.
I got you guys a little Agent May pop. I'm going to sign it for you.
That's
a little
cool.
K-Rock. And then
I
got
kidding?
Allie because I know.
Yeah, she's out sick, sadly, today.
So this one might make her feel a little better because
Mulan.
She's such a Mulan fan.
She is.
That is so sweet
it's
of you.
It's too bad she passed away.
You know? It's really
I think she's fine, Kevin. I think she'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah.
She'll be back tomorrow. Yeah, that's what I meant.
You know, wait. I thought I was taking over Allie's spot. That
you were sitting
whole...
in her seat, uh-huh. And you said my plan has come together.
That's
so.
Right.
Okay.
That's right.
There's a great story about these Funko toys. They do great work with these giant bobbleheads. And
it looks just like me.
It does. Exactly like you.
Like a really big Chinese head and a little body, you know?
The very first season you guys were on, Clark Gregg came in to promote the show. And he was talking to me in the office, and he saw on my desk I had one of these in the box of a Loki from Thor and from the Avengers. And he picked up and said, "What the hell is this?" Because Loki, of course, killed Coulson in the movie. He was not.
He was offended, personally.
He was offended.
Yeah.
I said, "I'm sorry if I had realized I would have taken it off my desk before you got here." So then a week goes by, and I get a package in the mail to open it up, and it's an autographed picture, an autographed one of these of Agent Coulson that Clark had signed, saying, "Now the fight is fair on your desk."
All right.
So I put up your desk. That's
fight on your desk.
This will have a place of honor.
That's
Thank you
awesome.
So much.
Yes, yes.
Do you have to model for those? Do they make you go and
no,
pose?
Bean.
They?
Nope.
No.
Bean, have you seen
Honestly,
what
it
these?
Doesn't look anything like her. This isn't a screen-accurate action figure. It's,
okay.
It's, all right.
And if it is, I would not be able to walk. I would just, like, freaking topple over.
But you could see really well if that was
That's
real.
That's right.
True. Your eyes are like saucers.
You could see for, like, 2 miles.
Yeah.
All right. We got to take a quick break. Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. comes back tonight on ABC at 9 o'clock. Hydra is no joke, you guys. We've got many more questions for our guest, Ming-Na Wen, when we return right after this on K-Rock.
Ralph, we need Bean to stop jumping in, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
In the conversation?
I think talking to the guest.
I think off-air more than on-air, we need him to not talk so much.
How dare you? I didn't even get a courtesy laugh from Ming-Na on that one, by the way.
Because it was stupid.
She's not that good an actress, Bean. That's all I can say. Even she couldn't muster up a fake
We're
laugh
talking,
for that.
Marvel's Agent of a S.H.I.E.L.D., which returns tonight to our
TV. Did he say Marvel's Agents of a S.H.I.E.L.D.?
He did.
No, I did not.
How you do? It's a Marvel's Agent of a S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Hey, why don't you come here and make you some pasta fazool, all you agents of a S.H.I.E.L.D.
It's a whole different show.
It takes place in Italy tonight, apparently, the episode.
If I said that, that was in error. Now, I think this is going to be very funny for people who don't watch the show. And by the way, if you don't watch the show, you're a bad person. You got no business being alive. But, Ming-Na, if you can, how would you describe where we left off in the story when the show went away in December? Because I think it's hilarious to hear what's going on this show right now.
Hilarious?
Yes.
You're tragic.
Wait, what show are you watching?
Wait, you're on Blackish, right? Aren't you on Blackish?
No.
I think he means absurd. Right?
I mean, it's hilarious. It'll be hilarious for people who don't watch the show to hear you describe where we are in the story because you're not going to believe this is real, but they make it work. It actually happens on the TV. So where are we in the story? Where do we pick up tonight?
Well, we pick up from – I can't really tell you because then it's major spoiler.
Well, just talk about Ward and the
– Well, we know that
Ward,
Coulson has returned.
Coulson does a really bad thing. He made the decision – out of revenge, out of anger, hate, whatever it is, and he kills Ward.
Right. So he
so on the other planet that they went through with the dark matter.
That's right.
Right.
So part of the existential crisis is, are we the good guys anymore? I mean, that's a conversation that has to be had at this point, right?
Well, I think that's been an ongoing conversation with S.H.I.E.L.D. because when you have power and when you have decisions that you have to make based on whether you think it's for national security, for, you know, creating peace in the world, whatever it is, when you have that power, it's kind of a frightening choice you have to make between right and wrong, because right and wrong is all gray at this point. And I think for S.H.I.E.L.D., it's the constant trying to struggle to figure out, you know, what is the right decision and what isn't. And unfortunately, you find that these characters, as skilled and as trained as they are, they don't. They don't know what the hell's going on. No, I'm just kidding.
But that's been a theme since we found out about the parallel S.H.I.E.L.D. with Edward James Olmos and that team, and they thought Coulson maybe had too much power. And then it was the it was S.H.I.E.L.D. versus the Inhumans and that community, and, you know, how much do we trust, how much don't we trust? So it's been nothing but just sort of moral dilemmas for S.H.I.E.L.D. throughout.
Right,
the past,
and that's always Marvel. You know, Marvel is always delving into the dark side of humanity as well as finding hope that in the end, you know, the good will prevail.
Right.
And right now, Ward is the big bad guy. Yeah.
Ward came back.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Coulson did the right thing by killing him, but he didn't dismember him into little pieces. That was the mistake he made. Because now we have zombie Ward.
Yes.
But forgive me if I'm wrong here, because it's been a while. But Raina James is dead. He runs Hydra?
No, that you're talking about Nashville. It's a different show.
But the same guy, though, right? The same guy.
Powers Booth, you mean? Powers
Booth?
Yes,
Powers
Booth. Can I just say how much I love Powers Booth?
He is an awesome actor.
He's incredible, yeah.
Not only can I just listen to his voice, like, talk about anything. I mean, the man is just a lovely human being.
Yeah. Really. Well, he's got stories. He's been around.
Yes, yeah.
You know something we don't know?
Where's he
been? I'm saying
he's had a very long, successful career.
Yes,
where
he's
worked on a lot of great projects with great people. I imagine he's the kind of guy that an actor would love to spend time with because of the stories. That's all I'm saying.
Yes.
But he's a bad dude, though, on this show.
Yes, he is. But, you know, his agenda is in his personal belief about where the ultimate journey for the human race should be, and he really truly believes in resurrecting this godlike character.
He's going to do away with all the chaos by putting sort of all of us under one rule. Right?
I mean, and in a strange way, like, you know, not getting too deep about all of it, it really does reflect on what's going on around the world right now. You know, everybody has such an agenda or such a passion for what they believe in that they're willing to do some pretty nasty things.
And Donald Trump also has an alien god living inside him. We know that to be true. His body's also been taken over by an alien. So
I'm not going to touch
so
that.
So we know
but
that.
Yeah.
It down. Sorry, Donald.
But I find that, you know, doing these kind of episodes where we're constantly dealing with the human dilemmas, it just really does reflect, you know, whenever things get too fantastical or hilarious, as you say, Bean, it is so fantastical that you forget, like, okay, if I just, like, narrow it down to the basic human problems or issues at hand here, then
it's a universal lifetime struggle.
Yeah, while I'm dealing with a giant blue monster.
But that's the beauty of the show, is despite all the fantastic elements and the superpowers and all that's going on, it invariably comes down to your character and Clark's and Henry's, who just, it's about the basic humanity of you guys and decisions that you make and how you interact with each other. That's what I think compels us and keeps us coming back to the show.
Right. Great. And just trying to, you know, keep hope and fight the good fight.
I feel like Agent May is the only one who really knows what's going on. I really do. Like, you're so solid in every single scene. It's like your character always knows what to do.
Yeah, but her husband turned out to be a bad dude, and that went awry.
Yeah, well, just because she doesn't pick the right men. You know, I know Ward wasn't very good either.
No, he wasn't. Right. There's that. A bad track record.
All right, I take that all back.
All right. We're almost out of time. I do have to ask, because some of the dialogue gets pretty thick and pretty detailed and there's a lot of technicalities involved, have you ever had a scene that has just been almost impossible for you to get through in film?
There, it might be the scene I have to shoot today.
Oh, today yeah. might be the one, right. A lot of dialogue, very complicated, very precise, and you also have to be, you know, walking and shooting and everything else at the same time. I just imagine, I mean, they really do put you actors through the ringer.
It's a very different show from other shows that I've done, for sure. You know, we're constantly on the move, literally. Like today we're going to be shooting on location and then we're going back to the studio afterwards and we're shooting this massively long, what we call a one-er, which is just one camera following actors around for like pages and pages and pages of dialogue.
I would get more nervous as that went along. 1 minute, I'm good. 2 minutes, 3 minutes. Oh, come on now.
When you're in page five, you really don't want to screw up that take.
And you don't want to be the last person with the last word.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. They should not do that. That's dumb. It's television. Cut it up. Just pick it up in coverage.
That's why I want Allie's job right here, sitting in a chair and just shooting the breeze. That's it's right. awesome.
You're allowed to edit. You're not doing Grease Live out there. Make it easier on yourselves, all right?
If you want to come all back right. in tomorrow morning at 5:30, I mean, I'm sure you can
You're
find
welcome.
Her.
Yes.
Yes, yeah.
All right, listen. We promised we would let our guest be out of here by 9:30 because she literally does have to go to work. So we are going to have to wrap it up there. But Marvel's Agents of the Shield is going to be returning tonight
hey,
on
Agents
ABC.
Of the Shield.
At 9 o'clock. And by the way, congratulations, Ming-Na. Already has been renewed for a fourth season. Agents
oh, my goodness.
So that's
yes.
Fantastic.
Yes. Thank you,
that
ABC. Thank you, Marvel. It's just so wonderful to have the news early. And, you know, we can all, like,
buy a bigger
you know,
house.
Right.
Well, you know how much we love you, and we always appreciate you stopping by. So thanks for your time.
Yes. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for coming.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38.
You guys remember when Ming-Na Wen was here? Oh, those were good times.
You drove her out?
I didn't drive her out. She had to go. She had to go to work. She had to be out by 9:30.
Horrible jokes.
I'm just saying it was better when she
you
was here.
You should stay hydrated.
That happened.
That happened.
That happened for real. In front of a guest.
Drinking water.
Come
on now.
Listen
to him laugh at himself.
He punched himself so he doesn't ever laugh except for at himself.
You should stay hydrated.
That was off to
you. I'm not that big of a Bean fan.
All right, enough for you, sir. Time for a final look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday morning. What's going on?
You know, we live in a world of musicals.
Yes.
The world is just all about musicals these days. You got musicals on television.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Hairspray coming on. We just had Grease.
Rocky Horror.
Rocky Horror.
Yeah.
Sound of Music. And we also live in a world of participation reality shows. You've got your Voice, your American Idol, so you think you can dance. America's top
housewife
model who
from Atlanta.
Chops food and makes desserts.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, it's a big one. Over in the... So anyway, this is comes as no surprise. A new series. There's a casting call for a new series that's being produced. One of the producers is Kristen Bell.
Oh. Ooh. All right. Tell me more.
She's one of the people behind this new show called Encore. It's a reality show which asks, did you perform in a high school musical?
Okay.
Do you miss that performance rush? Now you can relive your glory days on Encore. So I guess they're going to find people who were in musicals when they were kids in high school and allow them to recreate those moments on stage with full production.
Okay. Is this time for Kevin to make a return as Liesel?
I don't believe Kevin played
in the
Liesel.
Sound of Music.
In
I believe he did.
Music. I don't believe he
I think
played.
I heard that
the eldest girl in the Von Trapp family. I don't believe.
I'm pretty
that was
sure
him.
That was him.
I did, Ralph. That's what you don't know.
What?
No, but I could.
No, you could.
That's true too.
I, of course, was Captain Georg Von Trapp though, in the Sound of Music in high school. So
oh,
I'm
you got to be on this show.
I'm just
then.
Thinking. Edelweiss, Edelweiss. What? Who's calling now? I'm in the middle of my solo. Is it the Nazis? Because they were always after me, I remember from that show. Anyway, if you'd like to participate, go to the website encore.castingcrane, C-R-A-N-E,
Encore.com. Encore.castingcrane.com. They're looking for people to participate. I get the sense this might just be sort of a showcase show, maybe like that lip-syncing show, lip-sync battle or whatever.
Right.
Anyway, you can find out more details there on the website, but I thought that was kind of a cool idea. For those of us who did High School Musicals and would like to relive our glory days.
Edelweiss, Edelweiss, every morning you greet me, soft and white, clean and bright.
Come on! Someone pick up that phone and tell them to call back later.
Fräulein Maria, the children must behave.
Standing O! Back there in Philadelphia.
You can't give yourself a standing O.
I was telling you what happened.
Yeah, sure.
Back in the good old days there in Philadelphia.
Well, you're right for this show then.
There was a lot of love. I'm not right for this show.
Ralph the host, I was thinking like, ah, this guy's a little bit of a tool at first,
Come
right?
Come on! Hey, we were just talking to Ming-Na Wen about the pickup for Marvel's Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. for yet another season, which is great news. Speaking of pickups, I can't believe this guy got a second season. Actually, I can, because the world's just full of dopes. His name is Tyler Henry. You familiar with Tyler Henry?
Yes. Is he the medium?
He's the celebrity psychic. He will go to your house and tell you everything you need to know about what's going on in your life.
Yep.
He's got a show on E! And if you're not already disheartened by the state of America, all you need to know is that he averages 2 million viewers per episode.
Yeah. Didn't Ali, God rest her soul, tell us that she had a friend who was read by Tyler Henry and he's the real deal? And she was absolutely convinced that this friend was legit. And it really
Who's the one from Parenthood? It was
Monica Potter.
Monica Potter, yeah. I saw that episode. I was flipping around and actually saw that episode. He was like, he was in their childhood home. It was Monica Potter and her sisters. And apparently her parents had passed, and they were in the family home, and he was in one of the kids' bedrooms, and he goes to the
closet. And was it impressive?
He goes to the closet and goes, oh, this closet, this was a place of fear. This was a scary place. And I'm thinking, what kid doesn't think there are monsters in the closet at some point in their childhood? And she's like, oh, yes, I used to think there were monsters
How
in that
did you
closet.
Know that?
You're a genius. Nuts. Then her father was an inventor. Okay? He goes down to the basement. The basement is cleared out. There's walls right near the stairway on three sides of the room. There's one side that's got about 6 feet of space. He goes, I get the sense this is where his workbench was over here. Over here, I'm sensing that maybe he did some work over in,
the
this,
only place it would
in this part of the basement. That's the only place you could sit down. Oh, my God, you're the greatest.
It's just straight nonsense.
It's con artistry is what it is.
That's what I think.
Anyway, he's getting picked up for a second season. Nope.
With the announcement of season two, I am humbled and thankful for all your support. Ready for the adventure. I'm so happy to be able to continue sharing this journey of healing and validation through readings. I will always be thankful, says Tyler.
Upcoming episodes include, he'll read Carney Wilson, Carney Wilson's house. I'm sensing this refrigerator door gets opened quite a bit. That's what he's going to say when he walks in. That's amazing! Tori Spelling. I'm sensing your wallet is empty. There's no money in there.
Did you have, I'm feeling some bad plastic surgery. Am I getting a vibe like that?
Jewel, Terrell Owens, Boy George, and Melissa Joan Hart will all be featured. So
now, why do these stars go on the show? Do they think what do they expect from him when they go on the show?
I think they believe
that
contact with the other side.
Yeah, I think they believe that. But what is the example that you gave of the Monica Potter episode? What is she getting from him that she doesn't already know? She used to live in that house. She knows where her dad's workbench was.
Right.
She knows how she felt about the closet.
Because
what is
she
getting from him?
It's the long con. Once you set up with all those amazing things that no one could possibly know because you're getting psychic readings, then you hit him with the denouement. Which is, and your father is speaking to me now, and he says he's fine, and everything's good.
It's always fine and good.
It's okay to sell the house. I think that's what it came down to in this one. Yeah, it's fine. You can sell the house. It's okay. We got that. And they're like, woo! Finally, we got a message from the beyond, so we don't have to make up our own choices because we're alive.
But it just it sounds like with this guy and with all of them, like Kevin pointed out, there's never bad news. There's never your father hated you till his dying breath. There's never, oh, you know what? I'm hearing from your dad, and he's in hell. There's never anything like that. It's always, oh, everything's so great because that's what you paid to hear me say.
Your dad wants you to know he was nailing your next-door neighbor the entire time you guys were living here. That's crazy.
It's just, it's unrealistic that there's nothing but good news from the other side.
Maybe,
isn't
that's,
it?
Maybe that's the way it works, Bean. Maybe you don't suffer on the other side. Maybe it is all good news over there.
Right, but maybe you don't suffer on the other side, but you might have suffered till the end. You might have suffered on Earth. You may still hate your daughter now that you're dead.
There's no hate on the other side. You let all that mere mortal stuff go, Bean. You become enlightened when you pass over.
I don't like it.
I could make so much money as one of these guys, by the way.
Yes, you could.
I got the patter down. I could do it.
Yep.
And speaking of which, a real message from the other side happened this week. Apparently, shortly after former First Lady Nancy Reagan's death, friends were on a golf course in Palm Springs, and there was a rainstorm that stopped, and then what appeared over Palm Springs? A gorgeous rainbow.
I don't think that's scary.
And so you're saying to me, What rainbow? What does that have to do with Nancy Reagan? Why would you say that's a message from her telling everyone that she's fine in heaven? Well, I'll have you know, her Secret Service code name when her husband, Ronald Reagan, was president was...
Rainbow.
Rainbow! It all comes together.
Oh!
See?
Most people know.
Sensing a lot of putting that goes on here in this area of the golf course, said one psychic. So she's really is contacting us from the other side, and she wants everyone to know it's all good in the hood.
So you're saying there were clouds and rain, and then there was a rainbow.
Exactly. How does that happen? That's not even physically possible. You can't have rain and then a rainbow follows it when the sun comes through the clouds. That's not how it works, is it?
I think that's exactly how it works.
My bad. That's on me. That one's on me. I take full responsibility for that one.
This might be a bigger question for another day, but is all of this nonsense about hearing from beyond with the rainbow, with the Tyler Henry and everything, is it just we're unwilling to accept that life is just the number of years we've got on Earth and that's it? There has to be more.
I don't think
there's... Is that where all this comes from?
I'm sure that's part of it, but I think more of it is just the desperate... How desperately painful it is to lose someone you love and how much you wish they were still in your life in some tangible way. And so people just want to feel like they're still connected to those people that they miss really badly. That's all.
So when you're walking down the aisle or you're winning the Super Bowl or whatever it is and you say, I know my dad's up there watching me, you just say that because you wish he were still here to be a part of your life.
Yeah, I think that's a natural, understandable position to take. I think it doesn't come from a place of malice. I don't think these people are trying to delude themselves. I just think they miss the people that they love.
Well,
and look,
dopes.
Here's the thing. What'd you say?
I said, well, they're dopes.
Now, here's the thing. My opinion is of the fact that I don't know. I don't know what happens after our spirits leave these mortal coils. I don't know where we go or what that process is like or what you can be aware of or not aware of when you transition. Maybe they can see us. What I do know is... They're not sending rainbows to say hi to us. I know that much. They're not moving my coffee cup in the morning and saying, oh, that coffee cup was here. Now it's over there. The ghost took it. That's not happening. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Are you positive, though?
I'm positive of that. That much I know.
All right.
Today's celebrity birthdays. And by the way, if you feel otherwise, save it. I don't need any lengthy emails. I don't need any anecdotes. I don't need any tweets. Me not believing should not affect your belief one way or the other. Keep on believing. Don't stop believing.
Come on now.
Do what makes you happy. I just have a difference of opinion, and that's okay.
Email me. Email Ralph.
We don't need to exchange our viewpoints on this. You understand how I feel. I understand how you feel. It's okay. Let's just go about our days.
But we all agree on the Hollywood Medium or whatever that kid's name is,
no,
right?
I think now he's nonsense. Real. I've talked myself into it. I believe he's for real. Today's celebrity birthdays, Cameron Manheim is 55 years old today. Freddie Prinze Jr. turns 40. James Vanderbeek, Dawson himself.
The Beak.
Why are you yelling?
He's the Beak. He doesn't get enough credit or enough acclaim. He's the goddamn Beak. All hail.
I don't know what's happening.
I always wanted to be present when Bean got drunk for the first time, and I think today it happened. Tattoo artist Kat Von D is 34 years old today, and the lovely and talented Milana Weintraub celebrates her 29th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You know what we'll do, as in addition to emailing Ralph at krock.com, we'll take calls from people tomorrow that have received messages from the other side, Ralph.
There you go.
We'll
that's
do
a
that
great
tomorrow.
Idea.
We don't really
because
need to trudge through that
but
swamp.
I'm saying,
it's proof, though. It's proof,
right.
Ralph.
It isn't proof.
So we'll do that tomorrow. We also have Jeff Probst, the host of Survivor, of course. And also, if you want to be the opening act for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2016, go to kevinandbeanorkrock.com. Look up that information. You can send in a 2-minute video, and you can be the opening act. That is tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.